You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
There are 231 days, 12 hours, 59 minutes, 29 seconds to the most important election in world history. And, oh man, we have a lot of news and information to cover here today. Everybody's focused on the bloodbath hoax. We covered it a lot last night, but I'll hit it some. It's really waking people up. Now, the corporate media is the enemy of the people, but really the big news is all these different EU leaders saying, nope, we want war with Russia, joining Macron. And then the mouthpiece, the Bilderberg Group, came out on CNN, Fareed Zakaria, and said it's time to send in troops against Putin. And again, CNN's not important, doesn't have any ratings. Nobody watches it, but it's kind of the inner house intercom system of the New World Order. And when Fareed Zakaria gets up there, makes a statement, it's directly out of the mouth of the globalist. So we've got a clip of him saying, let's go full World War III, kind of like Sean Penn. And I mentioned this, Tucker Carlson didn't know about it. I don't blame him. Most people didn't know about it. We find the Sean Penn clip where he says that we shouldn't take nuclear war off the table from a year and a half ago. This is just crazy town stuff. But first, let's go ahead and play a compilation of the media, including Joe Biden just a week ago and a bunch of others, using the term bloodbath to talk about the economy or to talk about firings at the RNC. Or we all know what a bloodbath means. But now, no, Trump wants a bloodbath if he's not elected. Here it is.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Yeah, bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies.
As part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats,
a bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you.
It's going to be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Hasn't been a bloodbath on the way down.
Donald Trump bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath.
May not be the bloodbath.
It would be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
Possible Biden bloodbath this November.
A bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath
in Alabama into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland Security.
And it's a bloodbath today.
There was going to be this bloodbath.
Election bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath for them.
Bloodbath, possibly.
Bloodbath that went through with the Attorney General.
Bloodbath 99 days out.
The bloodbath is going to look like.
Presided over a bloodbath in the diplomatic corps.
Absolute, in my opinion, bloodbath the Democrats
are calling it. Ticket sales turned into a bloodbath.
Ticket sales for singer Taylor Swift's latest tour.
So Trump openly says, I'll put 100% tariff on Chinese electric cars. You try to bring them in through Mexico, try to build them in Mexico and protect the auto industry. It'll be a bloodbath. You don't want to do it. I told Xi Jinping it's a bloodbath. And they sit there and take it out of context and just show him saying bloodbath. Because they are out to get you. I know we already know that, but this is absolutely out of control, ladies and gentlemen. Tell you what else is out of control. They're getting ready to seize Trump's assets. That's right. They're not letting him do an appeal bond. That's right. They want all the money now. No due process for Trump. These people are criminals. Well, it's no secret that the corporate media has almost no viewers. But there's so many thousands of channels of it, local, national, international, that they flood the news feeds with it so at least people get the headline. Trump says if he's not elected, there's going to be a bloodbath. And then they take the clip out of context. They do this constantly. Remember when they claimed that he said all Mexicans are terrible, horrible people and are criminals? The full quote was, there's a lot of good people coming across, but also a lot of bad people. Well, everybody knows that. So this is very similar to what we've seen in the past. Remember, they also said that his first action was to remove Martin Luther King's bust from the Oval Office, which had not been done. They just lied and said that. But if you go back 6, 7, 8 years ago, it was working then with some people. Folks now know that 9 times out of 10, if it's political and a corporate statement made out of dinosaur media, that it's either a lie or completely spun till it's unrecognizable. So we're going to talk some about that today. We've got examples of the media using bloodbath over and over again like parrots. We've got clips of Biden saying it. But I think everybody's got this one covered. I mean, I may talk about it a little bit. Everybody else is only talking about that, and that's fine. I want to talk about nuclear war. And I want to talk about how this is unfolding, because we have a bunch of different NATO chiefs of different countries and the NATO chief himself and the defense ministers in Germany and the UK and Sweden and France. And we have the president of France, Macron, and just so many others. It would take about 30 minutes to name them all. On the same sheet of paper now, the same talking point, that sanctions don't work. Well, just let them steal $300 billion from the Russians. They're about to give themselves a launder in Ukraine. Certainly works to make them money, but it hurts people all over the world, not just the Russian people. And in a way, that which does not kill you only makes you stronger. So the Russian economy, according to many analysts, is actually doing better than it was before this war started. But regardless, when Fareed Zakaria gets up on his show once a week on CNN for an hour, you are hearing what the Bilderberg Group and the CFR and the managers of the Anglo-American globalist system want. And that's what Russian calls them, the Anglo-Americans. It doesn't mean Anglos like white people. It's the old term for the merger of the U.S. and British Empire. Really, before World War II, that was already going on, and that's what they call themselves. It's what Winston Churchill called it. It's 3-volume set that I've read, all 1,100 pages or so. It's how long all 3 books are together. The history of the English-speaking peoples, very fascinating. I suggest anyone out there that wants to know real history, read it. But Putin addresses the globalist as the Anglo-American empire. And he says that the West is very dangerous, that it's a tyranny now, and that it's a cancer that's expanding, that it's a catastrophe, and that we don't have free and fair elections. And even in international polling groups that go and do scientific polls of Russians, they all predicted he would win by 87%, which he did. And even Fareed Zakaria doesn't deny in his CNN piece that Putin won. It's not fraud. He's that popular. In fact, he won by 10 points more than he did last time. The Russians, more than any other group in the world, except maybe the Vietnamese, have been invaded more times than anybody else. In fact, they're constantly getting invaded. For 1,000-plus years, I think it's 1,070-plus years, so that's in the DNA. Not just Hitler, not just Napoleon, not just the Muslims, but the Huns, the Mongols. This has been going on for a long time. So this is a big deal. And there's a normalcy bias that, oh, we're not going to have another big war because we have nuclear weapons. But now you've got the Pentagon and the Russians, military, Ministry of Defense, putting out statements about, well, we're going to have a limited nuclear war. We're going to use tacticals on each other. So there's a real creeping up to the edge of oblivion here, and now we're standing on the edge of the cliff with our toes over the edge. This needs to stop, and it needs to stop right now. So I'm going to be getting into all of that coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, huge border news. Biden administration plans to use Guantanamo Bay as a processing center for Haitian invaders, being called migrants. When you call them that, then it gives the UN jurisdiction under the law. That ties into the road warrior level ongoing collapse of what is already a failed state, Haiti. machete-wielding militias battle gangs in Port-au-Prince as elites vie for power. Elites, different cannibal factions. Donald Trump could have his property seized as he owes $454 million in fraud case. Trump has failed to get appeals bond for the $454 million civil fraud judgment, lawyers say. So he's being denied due process and appeals process there. Trump can't secure $454 million appeal bond in New York fraud case, his lawyers say. So we're going to be talking about that situation and so much more here today. Also, Trump is having big trouble raising money because he's getting on average $50 donations. And all the big globalist billionaires, except for a few people that aren't globalists that are billionaires, are piling on to destroy what they see as a champion of the people. You can say what you want about Trump, but the globalists hate his guts because he actually tried to be president and tried to do things he thought was good for the country. He certainly made mistakes, but he's a good man. He's a strong man. And those that have supported him at a high level, like myself, have been persecuted dearly for it. And contrary to me cutting and running, I support Trump more than ever because of the persecution. Call it pigheadedness if you'd like. But at the same time, that does not mean that I'm in a cult and that I slavishly defend every policy he's involved in or the things that he does. He has been making a lot of moves lately endorsing neocon globalists that hate his guts. And I know the inside baseball, who the advisors are that are telling him this. And so I really see our mission here as trying to get Trump back into office, but being very aggressive when he does things that I think and that my expert guests think and that the listeners think is wrong. I think we really have a consensus here on air dealing with that. But I just wanted to stake that out and be very, very clear because there's some cultic Q-like adoration for Trump that he's a god, he's perfect, he can't make any mistakes, everything's 3D chess. And that is not what's going on here. He's smart, he's tough, he tries to do the right thing, he makes mistakes sometimes, he's a delegator, and he listens to people like Grinnell, who has done a few good things, but overall is one of the people I'm told that gives Trump really bad advice on who to support for office. And I'm really worried that if Trump does get back in, that he's going to be stacked again with a bunch of scum. Someplace he did a decent job, not perfect, is the Supreme Court's been having some pretty good rulings. Not as strong as I'd like, but they've been standing up out of the tyranny. And they had a unanimous verdict, as you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago that Trump could not be taken off the ballot when he's not even been charged or convicted of the crime he's being taken off the ballot for. That doesn't sound like legal rocket science to me, does it? Does it sound like that to you? So we have that news to get to. Also, I called it a turning point last night, and I want to go back over it more this evening. Letitia James' plan to persecute New York firefighters for their speech backfires. Because they have a right when she comes to their union, their event, to boo her and to chant Trump. Well, she wanted them fired. She wanted their pay cut. She wanted them persecuted. Isn't that an indictment of what a pig-like creature she is? That Soros witch who, I guess, metaphorically flew into the meeting on a broomstick. So we'll be laying all of that out coming up today. Speaking of free speech, the Supreme Court two-way free speech cases regarding social media misinformation today. We're going to be hearing oral arguments on the Justice Department, the intelligence agencies, that it all came out in the congressional hearings last year. Of course, it broke here many years ago, but came out officially last year that they were targeting, censoring, surveilling the American people to manipulate the election. And the Supreme Court has said that regardless of whether they argue, well, it was Russian-funded, of course, to no evidence or misinformation. It doesn't matter. The court has already said that they have that right to free speech regardless. can't just label it as something and then people don't get their speech. So that's the court already telling them what they can argue in front of it, signaling a big defeat for the deep state and the censorship that they have been engaged in, and election theft they've been engaged in against the American people. So I just want to sit back here at 11:16 Central Standard Time and just get this on record for all the listeners and all the viewers. America is fighting for its life, and not just America, the whole world. And we've never been in more grave danger. And if we don't admit we're in grave danger, then we are going to lose it all. And we are going to have total financial collapse, huge wars. The globalists that have set up this kleptocratic system believe that somehow AI will help them transcend the mess they've created. And they're building bunkers publicly. I first reported it 15 years ago. And I told you about secret bunkers and who was building them. And later it came out those exact people were building giant bunkers, because I talked to people that knew them well or people that were building them. And I mean 10-story deep bunkers in the sides of mountains or on the coastlines with underground submarine escape bases. That's what Zuckerberg has. And imagine you take part in a system so predatory that you've got to build a bunker and have a submarine underwater supervillain escape pod. Absolutely insane. So that's where we are. And I see one of the leftist refrains, slogans, you know, Alex Jones is fear porn. Alex Jones is trying to scare people. I've had to mentally walk through the fact that because I haven't run to the Southern Hemisphere, there's a nuclear war in the Northern Hemisphere. It'll create such chaos and collapse, even the Southern Hemisphere, that unless you're on one of those tiny islands where they have sheep farmers and the population is like 200, you're going to wish you're dead. If there's a limited nuclear war, it'll cause societal collapse and billions will die just from the aftermath of it. The nuclear reactor is melting down. It's going to be just so hellish, I can't even believe it. And I just love how the left works for the system and slavishly defends every corporate directive, no matter how ridiculous. And then they love all these wars, and they love torture, and they love spying, and they love censorship, and they just sign on to anything. The more evil, the better. And then they make jokes about nuclear war, when it's never been closer. All of even the mainline analysts admit we're the closest we've ever been, a worse scenario than the Cuban Missile Crisis. The weapons are way more high-tech, way more quickly deliverable. And I just sit there. I've had to make a moral decision to go down with the ship if it does happen, because we got a better chance of stopping it if we stay at the helm in the storm instead of just turning loose the wheel and putting our head between our legs. But I still have to make a moral decision looking at my children and my family when I don't leave the country. And I have to have a moral fight with myself not to do it. I had an overwhelming urge. And I guess God knows how to keep me at the wheel, because I don't have any money anymore. I never had as much as they claim, not anything near it. But I don't have the money to run off and hide somewhere. I have to fight literally as a person that I'm not a coward. In fact, I'm the opposite of that. It's not even a fear thing. It's a survival instinct to get out of here. It's very strong. It's very intense. I intellectually see the information, but I spiritually feel the grave, nauseating danger. And I've decided to stay and try to stop this. And then we're here trying to stop it. And people think it's funny. They think it's a joke. And it's because they've lived under relative freedom and security so long that they haven't studied history or looked at what just happened the last 100 years and how frequent and serious wars are. And if we have one now, it'll just be unspeakably horrible. You know, I see these clips because it goes into the globalist calculus. They'll explain coming up later. where they'll show the starving Palestinian children dying. And it's heart-wrenching, and it tears my guts out. And then I see some of the Israelis, even on national TV, saying the Muslims are subhuman. And we need to kill the children because they'll one day grow up and kill us. And then I pull back and I go, why is the corporate media showing me that? Well, what's the larger game here? What's the Hegelian dialectic? Because there is one. And then also, wait a minute, 80 plus million people, last time I checked, in the last 4 years, starved to death. And that's a UN number, and I agree with it. I've checked the numbers. It's accurate. 80 plus million people starved to death because of the COVID lockdowns and the chain reaction it created, the cattywampus that it created. And not a word about them, other than the UN saying, give us billions in money to feed the starving, when they're the ones that shut down the farms and food production in the name of COVID in the third world, way more intense than in the first world. So again, you have to ask yourself, why are they showing me one crime, one tyranny, and then not showing me one that is, I don't know, let's say 20,000 Palestinian children have died or starved to death. I think that's a accurate number currently. They're estimating about 20,000 out of 50,000 are children. Okay, I really feel sad for them. And I make myself watch the videos. And as a father, it tears my guts out. And then I think, why am I not seeing the images of the 87 million that starved to death around the world? What you are seeing is the military-aged men fleeing those collapses, picked by the UN to give them cards, debit cards, to come to Europe, to come to the United States, to come to Canada, to be our new police and military, which is official. So see, I understand the dialectic and how the moves work, and I'll understand enemy operation, and later I'll read a Club of Rome or a Rand Corporation document, and I'll be finishing the sentence and knowing what the next paragraph is. I'm so in their head. And you can get in their head, too. A lot of you are in their head, and you understand the enemy operation. And when you extrapolate it out 10, 15, 20 moves, there's no other angle to it but total extinction of the human population. And then I say, well, that's aliens then. That's the spirit, the fallen one, marooned on this planet, interdimensionally, as the Bible says, manipulating us to kill each other. Or is it just human selfishness that's always been in us? The spirit of Cain, to kill our brother because we didn't get the birthright. All I know is it's going on, and I really wish we'd go interstellar. I really wish we'd go intergalactic. I really want to see humanity go forward. I see the amazing culture and music and art and things we're able to do. I see the good in people. But the globalists don't see the good in people. They see the bad in people because they look into the mirror and see themselves. But that said, I have also been too nice in many levels and realized that when I am a classical liberal, like a Thomas Jefferson, that in the modern communication system, that only aids the enemy's operations. And I'm going to explain coming up. This is very, very important information. And I've also tracked everything they're doing is to show us things that in our epigenetic history didn't exist, to completely disconnect us from our ancestors and our programming God gave us, but it's also preparing us for the new system it's bringing in. And it basically goes along the lines of They Live. And that's what it is. You know, the people, when you put the glasses on, aren't physically a Walking Dead space alien, but their spirit is. And it's like Avatar. There is a thing jacked into them, and at the moment it finally takes over, they just become robots. You know, most of these people that are influenced by Satan and his minions, his pomps, his pimps, don't have kind of the Linda Blair model operating in them. That's just one phase to terrorize and harass and scare people. That's just one mode it's got. It's more like an NPC that has no morals and just greedily runs around following whatever stimulus it's given to believe that it's going to get some power over somebody. But it's not human. And I've studied history. I've studied the ancients. I've also talked to a lot of people that have worked in secret projects and things like that. But I've also experienced it myself that there is a higher plane to this one. In fact, there's multiple higher planes. Just as there are nine circles of hell, there are 12 dimensions just within this framework of this universe. And so I'm going to stop pontificating at this point, and I'm going to come back and hit the nuclear war news and how we can hopefully stop that. And then there's a really interesting national polling agency university study out dealing with how different races of people see each other. And as soon as I saw the graph, before I even zoomed in and read the names on it, I knew which group was going to be what graph and which group was the other, because I saw it on my phone real small on X, and I just saw the headline, racial groups rating each other, and I couldn't read it because it was small, and I thought, oh, the white people will all be down the line. They'll rate everybody the same because that's how they've been brainwashed. Whether you think that's true or not, I'm saying they've been brainwashed, whether it's true or not. And all the other groups say whites are the ultimate evil. Now, that's not everybody, but that's the majority. So, and of course, I knew what it would be before I looked at it, because that's why the corporations have done this. But only white guilt, reaffirming it and agreeing to it and enforcing it. See, white people and white academics and white media operatives, they've created this and enforced it. But it was done, they're conscious of that, as a control system over the West to have a new form of slavery, psychological slavery. It's not black people putting out all these anti-white ads, folks. It's the globalist. On screen is a NATO simulation of a first strike on Russia that kills 60-plus million people, and the whole thing takes 10 minutes to be carried out. And this is just a simulation of a ICBM attack. Real attack will happen from submarines and nuclear weapons in Western Europe that arrive within 1 to 3 minutes on most of their targets. Russian submarines in the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific, will destroy every major coastal city on average within 3 minutes. Takes about 15 for the ICBMs to launch, go over the North Pole, and then hit North America. Now, the real fun starts when the hundreds of nuclear reactors in Russia, Europe, and the United States melt down, which they all will in a nuclear war. And then you've got all of those Chernobyls that you're dealing with, all of those Fukushimas. And I guess Zuckerberg and all the rest of them, I guess Larry Page on his 300-foot yacht feels safe down in the South Pacific, because that's where they all stay. They very rarely come to events in the West. Sometimes they meet in Dubai now, but normally they're now meeting in places like Tasmania in the middle of nowhere. So, we don't just have Macron and all these defense chiefs over in Europe saying we've got to double down, we've got to go to full military confrontation, we got to send troops in. The mouth of the New World Order, Fareed Zakaria, who, when you hear him speak, he's one of the only journalists let in to the Club of Rome, Bilderberg, CFR, White House. When you hear him talk, that's communication not to the general viewers of CNN. He goes on once a week to communicate to the underlings what the current orders are. And we'll play a clip of him in a moment that seems all jolly about, you know, Russia and how things are going. And he says the answer isn't sanctions. It's decisive military setbacks. So we need to give Ukraine any weapon they want. Any weapon. That means nuclear. And every word is parsed when he says this. We need to give Ukraine any and every weapon, and we need to commit to send troops in direct conflict with Russia. So it's not just Macron shooting his mouth off. It is the mouthpiece of these people. So everything is going in that direction now that Russia, really 8 months ago, had already decisively done what they wanted to do, take the areas of the east, take the areas that are almost 100% Russia, that have always been Russia, take the port there in southern Ukraine on the Black Sea. Of course, Putin won by 80%+ yesterday. We're going to play a clip first of some of what he said when the poll numbers came in with 90% of the vote counted that he'd won. This is what some of what Putin had to say last night.
Simmons from NBC News. Mr. President, journalist Evan Gershkovich spent this election in prison. Boris Nadezhdin, who opposes your war in Ukraine, wasn't allowed to stand against you. And Alexei Navalny died in one of your prisons during your campaign. Mr. President, is this what you call democracy?
Господин президент, американская телекомпания NBC, Кир Симмонс. Мой вопрос. Американский журналист Эван Гершкович среди многих, кто провел...
Гершкович was one of the people who spent this time in prison. Надеждин, who was fighting against the war, was not allowed to participate in the elections, and Навальный died in prison during your campaign. Do you think this is democracy? This is life. If Mr. Nadezhny took part in this elections, this is or did not take part in these elections, that means it was the result of his unsatisfactory work or preparation. Maybe he should have avoided any mistakes of providing the applications. As far as I understand, this was the problem, that he did not get additional or sufficient votes to take part in the campaign. As for Navalny, yes, he passed, and this is always a sad event. But unfortunately, we had some other cases where people died in prison. Did you not have these events in American prisons? You did, and many times. And by the way, maybe it'll be slightly unexpected. A few days before Navalny passed, some colleagues told me, not the members of the administration, some other people told me that there is an idea to exchange Mr. Navalny for some people who are imprisoned in Western countries. You can believe me or not, but the person who spoke with me, he said, before the end of the sentence, he said, yes, I agree. Unfortunately, what happened, happened. But this happens. So you can't do anything about this.
The reason I played that clip is, do you see Joe Biden getting questions like that? There he is in front of the international press, taking their questions. It goes on and on. Now, here's another clip of Putin talking about the so-called American democracy. Here it is.
We haven't been intervening in any elections. And as I said, we're going to work with any leader that the American people choose. But what's curious, in the last year of his term as president, Mr. Trump, the current presidential candidate, told me that I sympathized with Biden. That was 4+ years ago. That's what he told me. You won't, I'm quoting directly here, you want Sleeping Joe to win. That's what he told me when he was president. And then, much to my surprise, he was persecuted for Well, allegedly using some Russian influence to rig his elections. That's, well, weird. As for the current election situation in the U.S., I think it's getting less and less civilized right now, and I would like to refrain from any comments in this regard. And I'm absolutely sure, and I think it's obvious to everyone, America's political system now cannot claim to be democratic in all senses of this word.
And he went on to say, I've got the transcript right here, that Russia is fighting for its life, that Russia's been under attack for 1,000 years, and that they will not back down and they will not be defeated. So everything is just hurtling into war. Now, here is Fareed Zakaria. We're going to skip this break. Here's Fareed Zakaria reading off a globalist script. So this is what the New World Order plans to do. He admits that America is losing its influence. He admits the Anglo-American alliance is falling apart. He admits the world's turning against us. He admits we're stronger. And then his answer is, let's just accelerate with all the weapons and direct war with Russia. This is the New World Order speaking. Listen to it.
In a recent interview with Russian state TV, Vladimir Putin said something that was, in his words, important for us ourselves and even more so for our listeners and viewers abroad to understand our way of thinking. The war in Ukraine, he explained, is for the West a way of improving its tactical position vis-a-vis Russia. But for us, it is our fate. It is a matter of life and death, he said. The fundamental mistake in Western strategy against Russia has been to ignore this reality. New data confirms that the Russian economy has withstood Western sanctions far better than most predicted. Its GDP grew at over 3% last year, and now inflation, which reached around 18% in early 2022, seems to be steadying at around 7.5%. Russia's largest bank, state-owned Sberbank, recently announced that profits last year, fueled by a mortgage boom, surged more than fivefold to their highest ever levels. Moscow has survived Western sanctions for a variety of reasons. These sanctions are not comprehensive. For example, they do not completely prohibit Russia's energy exports, nor can they. The world is too dependent on these resources. A total ban, if enforceable, would lead oil prices to skyrocket and trigger a global recession. And as Western companies fled Russia, non-Western ones simply replaced them. Russians addicted to Starbucks will find that those outlets have simply been taken over by Stars Coffee, a locally owned brand. Indian businessmen tell me that they were able to buy Western companies' assets in Russia at fire sale prices and now operate those businesses profitably. There are lessons here. The world economy is interdependent enough that it's hard to ban something like oil without imposing huge costs on everyone. Non-Western economies now make up a large enough part of the world that if they don't go along with sanctions, those sanctions lose much of their bite. But the largest lesson is surely that economic pressure alone rarely causes countries to capitulate. Over the decades, Washington has placed ruinous sanctions on Cuba, North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, and now Russia. Can one say in any of these cases that the regime reversed its policies? The Russian economy has survived because Putin has done whatever it takes. He has put his country on war footing, rallying its citizens with patriotic rhetoric that often works when a people feel besieged. For what it's worth, the respected independent Levada Center survey recently reported that Putin's favorability rating has risen to 86%. The central bank raised interest rates sharply. The finance ministry put in place foreign exchange controls. Government spending has risen dramatically, all to create a military-industrial economy. These policies and the sanctions will create severe long-term costs for Russia's economy and society. But slow stagnation is something a country can often bear far more easily than a sharp shock. Putin sees himself in a take-no-prisoners battle with the West. He has often indicated that he would not shirk from using tactical nuclear weapons. He has directed an ongoing and vast information war against key Western nations, notably the United States. By one European Commission estimate, posts by accounts linked to the Kremlin were viewed at least 16 billion times in the West in the first year of the Ukraine war. As the U.S. considers banning TikTok, it's worth recognizing that the issue is not really who owns the platform, but how malign forces can use any platform to get their message out, make it viral, and undermine truth and facts. President Biden has done many big things right in this war. He has rallied the West and many non-Western allies like Japan, South Korea, and Singapore. He has provided moral and material support on a vast scale to Kyiv. Republican opponents of aid to Ukraine are embracing a policy that is deeply irresponsible and unsafe, one that, if it succeeds, would make America weak and the world far more dangerous. And yet, Biden and other Western leaders must demonstrate that they too will do what it takes and that time is not on Putin's side. That means using Russia's central bank reserves, now frozen, to help Ukraine. It means accelerating delivery of every kind of weapon that Kyiv needs. The pressure that Putin needs to feel is not long-term economic decline, but short-term military setbacks, loss of conquered territory, higher casualty rates, and a collapse in morale.
Ceci redit,
France's President Emmanuel Macron is surely right that the central fact that must guide Western strategy is that Putin cannot win. If that means greater Western involvement, even military forces of some kind on the ground, that's better than watching Russian aggression succeed. Macron gave a speech this week in which he said that the conflict was existential for France and Europe. The West can only gain the upper hand in this war if it truly believes this and acts on that belief.
I could do a 5-hour, 10-hour show and just analyze every sentence he said there. But did you catch it? Russia says it's fighting for its life. It'll never back down. It'll never give in. And it'll use nuclear weapons. And so we need to move troops in and give more high-tech weapons and whatever they want to Ukraine, which Russia says it will then use tactical nuclear weapons on. And that's what the globalists, that's what the Bilderberg Group gave him to read on air. He admits it. So it's on record. Remember, that's where Soros 7 years ago went on and bragged about how, working with the State Department, he overthrew the government of Ukraine 3 years before, now 10 years ago. So they brag about starting a fight with Russia on its doorstep, at its birthplace, where Russia started, is Ukraine. And because Russia's winning, the West needs to double down. So here's the breakdown here. It's very simple. They're trying to sell you war, a third world war, a nuclear war. They know it's not popular. So that's why people knew after World War II, wars weren't popular. So they didn't call Korea a war. They didn't call Vietnam a war. They didn't call any of these operations a war. But now they openly call it a war. So, again, there's this normalcy bias that people believe, because we haven't had a nuclear war since the 1950s, when multiple countries had nuclear weapons, that it's not going to happen now. But it is happening now. And it's sheer madness. We saw some sanity Friday when Chancellor Scholz of Germany, Olaf Scholz, was at an emergency summit of the EU leaders in NATO and said on the podium to Macron, who was sitting right next to him, "We are not going to have a direct war with Russia. And we're not going to send troops into Russia, and you need to stop saying that, because that'll lead to a nuclear war." I wonder if they're going to suicide Scholz now, who's far from a sweetheart. He's a big globalist. But this is real crazy town. Remember a year and a half ago, Joe Biden, just 7-8 months into the war, they were asking for F-16s, and Abrams tanks, and he said, well, that escalates this, and that leads to World War III, and we can't do that. And that's because the set U.S. policy and set NATO policy and Rand Corporation war games and Pentagon war games all showed that on that threat continuation ladder that goes back to the 1960s, that's been updated thousands of times, it goes from 1 to 43, that you're getting total, complete nuclear war and the end of the world as we know it. And we're in the high 30s right now, folks. So this is beyond dangerous. And it's because the world financial system that the West has set up, the Ponzi scheme, is supposed to be phased out now and go to the new cashless society, central bank digital currency, social credit score, carbon tax system. But China and India and Germany, Russia, excuse me, China, India, Russia, Mexico, and 100-plus other countries have refused to go along with the carbon regime that literally shuts down civilization. And so now the globalists, the Rothschilds, are rattling their sabers saying, if you don't get in line, we'll give you a nuclear war. I remember 6-7 years ago, the head of the EU at the time was Herman von Rompuy before he retired, said, if anybody leaves the EU, that'll mean war. And they said, what do you mean? And they said, we're going to characterize that as Russia, no matter who the country is. Nothing to do with Russia. But if anybody tries to leave, there'll be a nuclear war. So this is called nuclear blackmail. This is called being held hostage. And a lot of people want to have Stockholm syndrome, mass Stockholm syndrome, and rearrange deck chairs of the Titanic and pretend all this is okay. This is not okay. So here's some of the headlines. Putin wins fifth term as Russian president with 87% of the vote. And mainline analysts, you heard Fareed tell the truth, Putin is that popular. He didn't have to steal the election. People are the power in Russia, says Putin. Next hour, I want to read his speech. U.S. is not a democracy, Putin. U.S. looks to interfere in Russian elections, ex-CIA officer. Russian forces liberate another settlement in Ukraine. Germany's running out of money and debt levels are exploding, warns the German finance minister. That's the point. Then we've got what's happening in Israel and Palestine and how that all ties together. We're not at war with Russia, Scholz tells Macron, Olaf Scholz. NATO says fighter jets can carry nuclear weapons as tensions with Russia reach breaking point. Yeah, when you load the hydrogen bombs on the jets, instead of an ICBM or a launch from a submarine, so it's 5-10 minutes, now it's 2 minutes, 1 minute. It's right on the border, takes off, goes up to Mach 2, drops the bomb, goes straight up, gets out of there. Massive escalation. Former UK spy chief, we're at war with Russia. France mulled boots on the ground in Ukraine for months. Russia claims it's killed 6,000 foreign fighters in Ukraine, including 491 Americans. Yep, that's true. Germany prepares to bring back the draft. Catastrophic report describes lack of weapons, ammo, and a rapidly aging armed forces. You got a bunch of technocrats that think they're safe in their bunkers marching us towards nuclear war. It needs to stop. All right, I'm going to shift gears into all the other political news and what's happening to Trump and also this big study where you want to hear what people think of white people, what the media has done. This is some powerful information next hour. We're going to go to break here. Please remember that we are listener-supported. When you get great products at InfoWarsStore.com, that makes this broadcast possible. X3 is deep earth crystal iodine, tri-iodine. It's the missing link in people's bodies and people's cells. All cellular activity is based on iodine. Most iodine is bound to other elements, so you don't get full absorption. This is pure iodine, all three types. It's 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free, 888-253-3139. And we're only going to run it at 40% off for another week or so. It'll go to 25% off. Stock up on your tri-iodine X3 at InfoWarsStore.com. And there's also other great products there, like Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, also discounted, the strongest turmeric out there, the strongest turmeric concentrate, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, InfoWarsStore.com. And while you're there, I hope you'll get a copy of one of my two latest books, The Great Reset and The Great Awakening, at InfoWarsStore.com. And then finally, our great sponsor is DrJonesNaturals.com. When you go to DrJonesNaturals.com, just DrJonesNaturals.com, you'll find all the silver products that were so popular that weren't available for years are now available there again, like Super Blue toothpaste with no fluoride, fortified with nano silver patented iodine, tea tree oil, all of it organic, peppermint, you name it, Super Blue. And we also have the amazing Super Coral whitening toothpaste. We have the turmeric toothpaste, the activated charcoal toothpaste, all at DrJonesNaturals.com, along with a lot of other great supplements not available at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out DrJonesNaturals.com today. The immune gargles there, the nano silver wound gel, it's all there at DrJonesNaturals.com. We'll be right back with hour number two.
Every farmer is warning us from every field on God's green earth. A reckoning is imminent. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are galloping on the horizon.
Last year in the United States, we lost over 500,000 farms. We lost over 125 million acres of farmland. There's never been a time that the local rancher or producer needs your help. Buy American and buy local.
Microsoft founder Bill Gates is the largest private owner of American farmland. Gates alone holds over 275,000 acres across 19 states.
Our government allowed two giant companies controlled by foreign governments to come in and acquire. One of them is controlled by the Chinese, and they bought Smithfield out of North Carolina. And the other one was a Brazilian company that came in and bought up one of the other major players. Why would we want to have an antagonist own 25% of our meat processing? It makes no sense at all.
Convoys of hundreds of tractors and trucks have slowed or blocked the traffic on major roads leading to major cities in the last 3 weeks. And many of the protesting farmers in France have also stopped after the government there offered a series of financial concessions. And they've also blocked numerous border crossings with the Netherlands. In Portugal, farmers have partly blocked a key bridge on a main road into Lisbon.
In the Netherlands, it was about fertilizer. In Germany, it's about the so-called diesel privilege. In France, it's about restrictions on the use of pesticides.
The CIA media and its satellite propagandists are covering up a global revolution that is far worse than any war. Engineered global starvation in order to rein in the GMO agricultural control of the United Nations Agenda 2030 and the Great Reset.
Climate transition is a key priority for our societies. We need to make sure that our farmers can be a partner in this.
With our new climate and nature plan, we focus on the following three things. First, the green transition. Second, the growing physical impact of climate change. And third, the risks from nature loss and degradation.
Our peaceful and united Europe is being challenged like never before by populists, by nationalists.
We hear the propaganda that increases of the gas of life, a trace gas in the atmosphere, will bring a disaster, and that we will have runaway global warming. Sorry, folks, we've known for 200 years from chemistry that it's the exact inverse.
In America, Soros pawns are now making it a priority to wage lawfare on the average farmer, while a backdoor elimination of fertilizer, livestock, and farms by any means necessary is well underway.
In order to get net zero, we'd have to kill all the animals, including ourselves, food and energy. Nothing else is as important as those two things. Water, right, is part of food. They haven't decided to cut the water off just yet.
You know, climate change is a bit abstract. Some people understand it really well. Some understand it a bit. Some just don't understand it. Water. Every kid knows how important it is to have water. When you're playing football and you're thirsty, you need water.
4 billion of us depend on nitrogen fertilizer. which they now say is bad because it's a greenhouse gas or whatever.
And in particular, what the net zero movement does is it ignores the benefits of fossil fuels and it exaggerates the negative side effects. That's the key thing that's going wrong. Fossil fuels are crucial to the availability of food for 8 billion people in two ways. So anyone want to suggest what are the ways in which fossil fuels are crucial to food? Fertilizer. So that's one. So modern fertilizer is derived from natural gas. We cannot feed 8 billion people without plentiful fertilizer. Before natural gas, we were trying to use bat guano. That was our best fertilizer. Bat guano didn't scale very well to 8 billion people. Natural gas is crucial. There's nothing close to natural gas in terms of fertilizer.
Meanwhile, a tsunami of illegals is slowly reintroducing screwworms and hoof and mouth disease to American livestock our ancestors tenaciously battled with and eliminated from the U.S. Our nation is running out of time. No one wins in a war against the farmer. Everybody starves and everybody dies. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
The Farm Wars at band.video. It's also on Real Alex Jones on X. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. Please stay with us. All right. Coming up in the next few days, because I want to do more research on it because it's so big, the British government, with their top universities and government institutions, has put out a report called Absolute Zero, where they don't want to just have net zero increase in carbon or lower it to a previous state. They want to get rid of all carbon, which humans are. And I was going over this report today, and it's so big, literally and figuratively, that I want to make a big deal about this. But I also don't care if other people, like Tucker Carlson or anybody else, goes and does it first. I just want to get this information out. It's so nightmarish that it's just hard to describe what they're doing, other than total feudalism, the end of civilization as we know it. And speaking of the end of civilization as we know it, guys, pull up a satellite photo of the island of Hispaniola. It hasn't been called that for a couple hundred years since the French split it with the Spanish. But it's the island where on the west you have Haiti and on the east you have the nation, the Dominican Republic. And if you look on a satellite, Dominican Republic's all green to the east and everything's rock, basically, almost no trees, deforested in Haiti. So the Spanish brought in African slaves to grow different crops like sugarcane 500 years ago. And the Dominican Republic has not been historically big in the slavery department, so they didn't have all the African slaves there. And now Haiti, after the earthquake, it had big problems before. It was a failed state. I would never even say it's really been a country. It's always been road warrior. It's always been collapsed. But now it's entered cannibalism and an absolute negative civilizational capacity. And so we have all the B-roll of machete-wielding gangs that run the country and people eating body parts, viewer discretion advised. The cannibal cult thinks they get power from eating men's testicles and penises. There's obviously viral clips of that. So whoever has the guns, meaning the gangs and the government they work with, the government uses gangs as their cutout, have control. And so now over 1 million Haitians are set to come here to the United States. And this is a microcosm of where the rest of the world's going under civilizational collapse. And then after the earthquake and the Clintons looting it, after years of lockdown and no industry or no tourism, you see the massive influx of Haitians that are really refugees fleeing into the West. Now, why is this so important? Because this is the model for the rest of the world. This is societal collapse. Machete-wielding militias battle gangs in Port-au-Prince as elites vie for power, so-called elites, CNN. Wonder how those elites feel being the bosses ruling over a hellhole, which again is what's happening in the rest of the world at a slower pace. Dozens of U.S. citizens evacuated Haiti for the first State Department charter flight. Inside Haiti, a lucky few escape while millions face gang rural hunger and chaos. And then here's another one. Opinion, why gangs hold so much power in Haiti? And CNN gives its twisted reason. When society collapses, it's then groups of military-age men running around feeding on the rest of the population. And in most societies, then order gets finally reestablished once that collapses. But instead, Haiti just is a slow burn, always continuing to sink deeper into the morass. So Florida braces for Haitian migrant influx. Governor Ron DeSantis deploys military personnel. They need to be told they're going to be deported. But Biden has said that that's not what's going to happen. They're going to be kept here. Look at all the piles of garbage in this photograph. And that's what New York City looks like now. That's what so many other areas look like. So the globalists have collapsed the third world. They're using it as a weapon now to collapse into the West and bring us down. Very, very dangerous. Very, very sad. Now I want to talk about some hope. And then I'm going to get back into the globalist war game against civilization and society. The Portuguese continue European trend of veering right ahead of EU elections. Portugal's recent elections reveal a significant response to the EU's Green Deal, with environmental parties failing to secure seats in parliament, a trend echoed across Europe and signaling a broader political shift, while Polish conservatives also surge. In Portugal, the election results led to several conclusions. First, they demonstrated how the Europeans are rejecting and reacting to the EU's enforced Green Deal. Two environmental parties did not even make it into the parliament, which aligns with the disastrous polls for the Greens across Europe. And the Greens are just a globalist party of cutting off energy. One of the Portuguese eco parties, in a bid for survival at all costs, formed an alliance with the communists who had been strong in the country for many years after the Salazar era. It turns out that the Portuguese do not want the left in government nor the radical left in parliament. Absolutely. And additionally, it is evident that the socialists are in retreat, as is also the case in many other European countries. For the center right to govern, it must have the support of the right-wing Chega party, which quadrupled its numbers of parliamentary seats. So whether you're in Latin America or whether you are in Europe or whether you're in areas of Asia that allow voting, there is a massive shift towards not cutting off the resources and plunging society into a death spiral. Unfortunately, the dominoes that were knocked over with the COVID lockdowns that extended for years in the third world is irreversible and is causing a massive stampede into Western countries. So it's kind of the case of a dollar short and a day late, or a day late and a dollar short. But that's what's happening right now. Now I want to get into something that I mentioned at the start of the broadcast today. And And I've seen similar polls. You see the numbers. You see the corporate media. You ask yourself, why is every major corporation out there saying that white people are inherently evil because they're white? Well, you brand white people as the devil, and then you connect it to the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, private property, due process, the right to own guns, the right to contract. And then you get rid of that last dam or that last road bump, that last speed hump, that last impediment to corporate BlackRock New World Order rule. So this morning, and I meant to repost this on X, on my X account, Real Alex Jones, I didn't. So one of you guys that has access to my X account, please post this and just say, very important information to understand the future, or very important information to understand why the globalists are pushing an anti-white agenda. So the minute I saw this on my phone, my eyes are still pretty good, but I couldn't read it on a phone. As soon as I saw radical groups raiding each other, or racial groups raiding each other, I thought, oh, I know what I'm going to see, because I couldn't read white respondents like we can now because it's blown up. But I said, I could see the dots, and I said, I bet that'll be white people. So I clicked on it, and I magnified it, and I printed it, as you see right here. And sure enough, what I instantly thought it would be, it was true. This is the American National Election Studies time series study, post-election data. So this is a major study on asking white, black, Asian, and Hispanic respondents their view of other racial groups. Now, for radio listeners, I'll narrate this because you can't see it, but again, I'll post it on Real Alex Jones right now, so we'll see it there. Notice white respondents, because they don't want to be seen as racist or bad, because they're being taught they're the bad people. They're being taught to never make a decision, never discriminate on food or on energy or on policies, because the West is seen as white. You want to discredit the idea of the West. The whites all voted the same on their view of white people, black people, Hispanics, and Asians. Almost identical numbers, and I've got the breakdowns here. Because, okay, how do you answer this question? Oh, everybody's the same. I don't see anybody as different. Now, what the globalists want is to get whites to vote like everybody else did and see themselves as the devil. Okay? That's what they want. So, and notice, whites did rate themselves as the worst group. So whites are learning well to hate themselves and have self-loathing. So whites did rate themselves as the bad people, but only by 10 percentage points. Now, blacks saw themselves as the best. Hispanics saw themselves as the best. And Asians, when stacked up against whites, found themselves the best as well, but not by a large margin. Now let's look at black respondents. Well, white people are the absolute worst, and this is not all black people, but it's almost a majority. This is the brainwashing. White people are the worst thing on earth. Black people are the best. They're almost perfect. Blacks saw Hispanics as super bad, but not as bad as the devil over here, the white devil. So actually, the numbers, black respondents saw whites as good and saw now let's look over here. Hispanic respondents. The point is that all of this brainwashing is doing nothing but creating division, and it's not coming from the white people or the black people or the brown people or the Asian people. They're just trying to have jobs and raise their families and live their lives. But it is the establishment and the power structure that is doing all of this. And they're doing it over and over and over and over again. And I know everybody knows this, but we have to let this really, really sink in. And just ask ourselves, why would a power structure do something like this? Well, because they're cold-blooded, and big corporations want to control society. I mean, do you think black people came up with Advil commercials on TV, but also Advil in caps at stores, where it says black people feel more pain than everyone else? Buy Advil and save the black people. That's just the establishment trying to wrap themselves in a black skin. And it's very, very sad. And I'm going to look at these numbers more and really try to give you my take on what they mean, because it's all very, very confusing. But at the end of the day, society and civilization is on the cusp of irrevocable collapse. And I almost feel like I'm up here rearranging chairs on the Titanic. I don't almost feel like that. I really do. And I don't want to just sit up here and commentate on the destruction of civilization. I want to try to stop this and try to do something. Because there's this bandwagon effect where people that call themselves liberals support any war, open borders, surveillance, censorship, tyranny. And you look at them and you know they're going against their own interest, but they're doing it because they are pretending that they're part of the power structure. When they're not. So I have hundreds of articles here. I have all the different horrible stuff they're doing, and it's at a certain point, it's just like, why? Why would you come up with something this oppressive? Why would you do something like this to turn people against each other? And it's because the globalists know that evil works. At least it works in the first step, or maybe the second step. 10-year-old kids denied drinking water in class because of three Muslims observing Ramadan. See, it's not tolerance, folks. It's that you must submit. 24 children were told they cannot drink water at a school in Germany because three other students in the class were Muslims observing Ramadan, according to a report. The 10-year-old kids in Frankfurt, Germany, were all denied drinking water due to the tiny minority fasting for the Islamic holy month. German outlet NIUS notes that the fifth grades informed their parents after two teachers at the school made the decision. One parent commented, "At dinner, we always talk about how the day was. I asked my daughter what was going on at school, what was new at school. She then told us the two teachers had forbidden the students from drinking in class because three of the 27 were fasting." The schools are told to do this, folks. They don't just come up with this. It's all about how do we persecute people? How do we take things away from people? Because if you're destroying somebody's country and getting rid of their culture, you need to cow them. You need to dominate them. You need to, in an imperious fashion, absolutely push them down into the mud so they never think about standing up again. You have to get them to do ridiculous things as an act of submission. And that's all this process is. And I just wish people would stop submitting and stop bowing down. Because the globalists and the left have an alliance with Islam. At the same time, they kill them. At the same time, they attack them. They use them as a political tool. I've got articles here where Joe Biden has announced a plan to ban 2/3 of gasoline cars by 2032. And of course, there's not enough parts for the electric cars. There's not enough ingredients for the electric cars. There's not enough lithium. Because this is not a bridge to the future. This is a bridge to collapse. This is what the absolute zero is all about. And that's why I'm going to prepare a presentation in the very near future on this information. Now, we're going to go to break here in a few minutes. And I think it's important to look at the martial law that's incrementally being crept up and set up all around us. And I think it's very important to look at the wider world and the fact that you've got a bunch of disconnected globalists that believe they're about to be gods and who've stolen control of the central banks and who control the money, who are giving orders to everyone to carry out all these different operations, and they're not looking at the end game of what it creates. You're not going to depopulate 90%+ of the public and not have giant wars that end up destroying everything. It's not going to happen. It's that simple. And you're not going to be able to execute all of this and not create chain reactions that are guaranteed to create a hell on earth. And anyone who has any geopolitical or historical understanding knows that and understands that. So then you have to ask, why are they doing that? Because they're not just going to destroy us. They're going to destroy themselves. So this isn't just nihilism where I only care about myself. Who cares if the world ends? They're working to destroy the world. And if you look at the European Union leaders, none of them have children except a few of the Eastern European leaders. How do you have a group of people that don't have children? Because they know they've made a deal with the devil. And that's why they run headlines everywhere about, oh, the end of humanity and the end of humans and looking for the end of humans. All of this is being done by design. And that's really the big takeaway. I could sit here and cover articles for you all day and talk about factoids and prove my points, but you don't need it to be proved anymore. You see the world government and the social credit score and the pedophilia and all the Satanism out in the open. The mark of the beast. And we sit here and we pretend like we're not going over the edge into hell. And it would be so easy to just wake up and rediscover God, and rediscover the truth, and reject these people. But we have crazy psychotics at the helm, and that's what's happening. It's that simple. All right, we'll come back with some really important news straight ahead. And then Owen Schroyer's coming up today at 3 p.m. Central with the War Room. Don't forget weekday mornings, 11 a.m. Central. Harrison Smith with the show he does, American Journal. All right, stay with us.
New York City are deploying the National Guard, effectively militarizing their streets and especially their subways. So is this about citizen safety or is it, as Alex Jones warns, the piloting of martial law? Hello there, you awakening wonders. Thanks for joining us on this voyage through truth and freedom. By clicking the link in the description, you can support our movement, getting additional content each week, like this week's displacement theory video, as well as joining us live for our conversations with important thinkers, journalists, and politicians, and help our movement to grow in the face of incredible opposition from globalist forces. And these globalist forces are no doubt on the rise. You will be aware now that New York City, that most liberal of metropolises, has militarized its its law forces by putting the National Guard on the subway. Now, New York City is no doubt in a time of crisis, evidently and apparently connected to the issue of migration. But is this sudden appearance of military personnel on the New York subways really about protecting the citizenry, or is it more insidious than that? Are we beginning to experience the piloting and grooming of a population to get us ready for militarized streets? For many years now, we've seen anti-protest laws, militarization of the police, police cars that used to be like Nenor, Nenor, Scalectrics, Dukes of Hazzard, good old-fashioned fun, have become like tanks now. Why has that happened? When did that become necessary? Is it necessary in your neighborhood? And if rising crime is a problem in your neighborhood, what exactly is causing it? Do you trust the people that have the power behind the barrel of the gun or not? Let's have a look at Alex Jones's perspective. You'll be well aware that Alex Jones's perspective will be around centralized authoritarianism, global conspiracies, and piloting. But having just lived through the last 5 years, it does seem that we have been subject, whether it was some of the events around the pandemic or recent censorship laws across the world, to the piloting of ideas in certain territories in order to normalize them. I'm talking about the freezing of bank balances, closing down of people's social media, using government proxies to censor dissenting voices, lockdowns, internment camps, arresting people for things they've said on the internet, imprisoning people for things they've said on the internet. While the time that we're talking about Donald Trump and how bad he is for democracy, is democracy, even under the auspices of actual Democrat rule, becoming more and more authoritarian? Let's start with Alex Jones, then we'll get into what we think is happening together.
Tonight, a new approach to keep subway riders safe.
Guns! Guns aiming at your face! The new way. The army threatening to kill you if you step out of line. Look how compliant the news always is. Look, don't say that this is terrifying. Don't start saying the military are on the subway now. That's a clear indication that whatever your political perspective, things have gone terribly wrong. Say instead, new way to keep you safe. New way to help you go to sleep at night. A firm punch right in the jaw.
Bag checks and beefed up security with members of the National Guard.
Beefed up like it's nutritious. It's like a bone broth made out of a gun pointed at you by the state. Night, night.
As CBS2's Naveen Dhaliwal reports, the plan comes on the same day as another attack on a conductor.
So, you know, attacks on conductors gotta bring in the army, so.
With riders on edge, the governor is putting a plan in place that includes cameras in conductor cabs and more cops on the platforms. At Grand Central Terminal Wednesday evening, bag checks were underway.
It seems to me that in order to protect the legitimizing, raising authority. And indeed, there's such a sort of raging debate in your country about guns and gun ownership and gun laws. And all it seems to amount to really is not whether or not there are guns, but who's allowed to have them. And we now know that the state doesn't want to discuss their guns. What about the dangers and threats of those guns? What about the many people that are killed in friendly fires, in wars? Perhaps all we're talking about in politics is who has the right to kill.
As tackling subway safety is now at the top of the list for city and state officials.
These brazen, heinous attacks on our subway system.
On our democracy by me. What? No, sorry. I mean, on our subway by someone who's not me have got to be met by everyone's got guns now that works for me. You don't work for me? No guns. You work for me? Guns. Simple, really, huh?
Will not be tolerated. This was a stern message from the governor.
It is a stern message. It's a stern, very aggressive message. It's an authoritarian message. It's not stern. It's authoritarian. It will not be tolerated. I don't care about your past. I don't care about your social conditions. I don't care about your mental health. I don't care if there's been a fentanyl crisis. I don't care if America's breaking down. I don't care if you're delirious with doubt and you can't feel God in your heart anymore because you're surrounded by lies and treachery. All I care about is do as you're told or we'll kill you. I mean, that what is the message?
After several attacks in the transit system in the past week, these attacks prompting the governor to deploy 1,000 members of the National Guard.
Look, that's the news doing the job of propaganda. These attacks prompting the governor. I don't know. I bet if you had the time to look at the data, you go, how many attacks are there each year since 1970 in New York on staff members? And then you'd have to look at a sort of a variety of factors. Poverty, inequality of wealth, mental illness, some government support. There's so many vital components. When the solution is always, we're going to take some more power because of this, there's a really nasty cough going around. So, in conclusion, we're going to take a lot more power. There's a really nasty Putin going around. So, in conclusion, we're going to take a lot more power. There's a really nasty truckers going around. So, in conclusion, we're going to take a lot more power. Is the answer always going to be, you're going to take a lot more power? There's a lot of people saying on the internet that we're taking too much power. So, we're going to be taking a lot more power and censoring those people. Okay, and the threat is Donald Trump how?
And police to subway systems across New York City.
What they're doing, checking bags to make sure explosive or illegal weapons aren't entering our subway system.
I think it's rather offensive to all of us as human beings that Eric Adams, being a person of color, will be framed and celebrated here, or that the news reporter is a person of color. I think both of those things are great. How fantastic. Let's have a diverse and representative, but above all else, fair and equal and truly representative society where you don't centralize authority. I'm getting rather tired of the idea that equality and fairness means highlighting programs of representation in order to mask increasing authoritarianism. I agree with equality, in particularly when it comes to matters around gender and sex, but above all, wealth and power.
City officials say each week NYPD bag screening teams will be at 136 stations. That's about a third of the stations in the system. New York City Civil Liberties Union calling it heavy-handed.
But heavy-handed really means like, oh no, boss, there's another person was rude to a bus conductor. Like that heavy-handed means that you're not even actually in control of the weight of your power. And isn't that the perfect description of how globalist, elitist power masquerading as American patriotic power, whether it's in foreign wars or on the most beautiful city in America, some would argue, New York City, and the imposition of authority, all in order, as usual, to help people.
Like stop and frisk, ripping a page straight out of a Giuliani playbook.
We had to, really, because the pages were stuck together. I'd like to take a note. Every time a demon of the liberal elites have their ideas borrowed and utilized by those same liberal elites. Donald Trump is the worst thing that could ever happen. That's why that wall he's building that we mocked him for is still being built. That's why those cages that we condemned him for are still there and were in fact put there by Barack Obama. Giuliani, that pervert, lunatic, maniac son of a bitch, actually had some pretty good ideas when it came to protecting train conductors, which is now something we care about now that we can have armed military on the train. I didn't used to care about Giuliani when he was just being in Borat, but now his ideas can really be used to control ordinary people. I like that guy.
In addition to the bag checks, the governor's plan includes amending state law to ban repeat offenders.
Every single one of these bullet points will amount to more power for the state, greater ability to arrest and control.
Installing cameras in each conductor's cabin.
Mental health outreach. You get the idea, mental health. You know, we'll put something on Instagram. There'll be a hashtag. Everyone's going to feel a whole lot better. And if they don't... Now, a perspective from the other side of the aisle, to put it mildly, Alex Jones. Alex Jones has been a guest on our show, and Alex Jones will be a guest on our show again. As you know, I consider Alex Jones to be a kind of shamanic force in politics. Of course, he occasionally says things that are pretty crazy. Hey, who doesn't? But when it comes to the issue of piloting authoritarian measures and perhaps even martial law, Alex Jones is a voice that's perhaps important. Let's have a look at what he's saying on this subject.
When I was cutting my teeth 29 years ago on air, Bill Clinton had just been in office for a year or so, and it was confirmed the military was warning. It was coming out. They were leaking classified documents that now are all basically admitted and have been publicly rolled out against the public to incrementally bring in martial law. So they went from this being secret under Clinton, and then with Bush, yeah, it's mainly for al-Qaeda, but it's also for domestic groups. And then you're asking, well, what's this really all about? And then you start to realize it's part of a long-term process of just getting the military, the police, the public ready for this. So here's what's happening. We're not going to have UN troops one day or Russian troops like Red Dawn, and you're in Colorado and all of a sudden parachutes come down and you've got Russian troops shooting at you. It'll be our own troops, but they'll be made up of people that have been tested for decades, going through the training, going along with attacking their own people. And now the troops are being deployed and searching everyone's bags.
Like, how can you not be affected by that image? That's
armed military personnel on the subway being normalized. I am quite sympathetic to this perspective, given what I've witnessed and experienced in the last few years. And indeed, Jones is showing he's working out an incremental increase in these tactics and techniques over several administrations. Isn't that indeed the domestic heart of what globalism means, that regardless of who you vote for, you've got deep state interests that have an agenda that spans various administrations, and those administrations will focus on hot-button cultural topics. Meanwhile, the projects of war and social control will continue. And even beyond the physical representation of military presence on the street, which is terrifying, we know and often discuss how techniques designed to track and control dissidents abroad, specifically, literally, groups like ISIS, are now deployed. Once you've seen armed military personnel conducting bag checks on a subway in New York City when there isn't a war happening or anything remotely like it domestically across America, then you have to acknowledge that that is something that is significant. And quite a lot of power and time and propaganda has to be invested in saying that someone like Alex Jones is hysteric. And due to his, let's call it his presentational style, he does make that kind of analysis in some circles quite credible. But let's not forget what we're looking at. We're looking at armed troops on the subway in New York. It's not been a terror attack. There's not been a terror attack. We're not in the middle of COVID. It's just being normalized.
Without a warrant, all these decades of preparation for martial law, and that's what this is here.
It is interesting. Bags being searched without a warrant by troops is a pretty significant step to normalize, particularly in a city like New York. Often when I talk about piloting, I mean Australia, internment camps, trucker protests, and the evocation of the Emergencies Act in Canada, the freezing of bank accounts in Canada and Ukraine. New York City, that's a bold move. But I suppose the fact is broadly, compliance has become allied to opposition to Trump. That's what it means. Like, that if you are opposed to liberal democracy, and liberal democracy now means war in Gaza, it means war against Russia, it means being compliant when it comes to medical suggestions that come from the state. All ideas that in the 60s, when the heroes were people like Malcolm X, like, you wouldn't have thought, one thing you want to be is obedient. When Pfizer says jump, you say how high, and oh, I'm not sure I'll be able to because my heart hurts. Now, authoritarianism has become somehow allied to liberalism, and the idea that military force and military intelligence is turned against a domestic population has become normalized. We know from personal experience now that agencies, deep state agencies and proxies funded by the state that were used as intelligence assets to oppose terrorists, as they were then called, perhaps understandably, in various Middle Eastern wars and subsequent disputes, are now deployed against domestic populations. That's a fact in your country, in mine, across the world. So, in essence, what we're witnessing is we, the domestic population of these nations, are regarded as the enemy. And that doesn't take brilliant analysis, actually, because just watch the Oscars. You know, Trump, he's in the... That's 50% of the population. That's 50% of the population that now includes black people, Hispanics, significant numbers of women. It's not just, mega, you know, it's not that. It isn't that. And by the way, you're allowed to be that if that's what you are. All of you have the right to be who you are.
But they have to create the climate first for martial law and civil emergency to sell us on it, the angrier world that Klaus Schwab talks about.
Yeah, it's an important point that the occupying force are there as protectors. And actually, that's not a new idea. The English or British occupation of Northern Ireland begins as we're here to protect, I think initially, forgive me, Catholics in Northern Ireland. It just became normalized. And I know there's a long and complex history between our two separate nations. But often the introduction of the military is portrayed as for safety and security and protection. And I think that probably happens in the sort of Balkan War, Middle Eastern campaigns, peacekeeping force. Actually, if that piece of language was introduced when I was a little older and a little better educated, I'd gone, peacekeeping force? That doesn't seem like the way you get peace.
I say the whole world must learn of our peaceful ways by force.
This is not a right-wing piece of writing, by the way. In this journalism, Donald Trump is criticized for his attempts to deploy the National Guard during the uprisings that came from George Floyd's murder. So this is not apolitical, this is political, but it's political from the side that you would not have expected. That, for me, increases its validity and is precisely the type of discourse that we must engage in. If you find yourself either side of that line, you're being controlled. The mobilisation of 2,000 city and state police and National Guard troops in New York City on the pretext of fighting crime in the vast subway system is a demonstration of the reactionary character of the Democratic Party. Last month, New York City's Democratic Mayor Eric Adams announced he would deploy 1,000 New York Police Department cops in the subway system after a law and order campaign by the city's tabloids sensationalising a handful of violent attacks against subway riders and transit workers, which, knowing what I know now about how the media operates, were possibly written in conjunction with the people that introduced this law. It would be, here, we got these stories, we got these stories, we'll give you access to this story, we'll give you this interview, we'll give you this access, we'll give you this tax break, we'll give you this. We now know that that's the relationship between the media and the state. Do you think that the X-Files was the first time deep state were embedded within a media organization? Let me know in the chat. On Wednesday, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, also a Democrat, announced she was redeploying 750 National Guard troops already in New York City, as well as 250 state troopers and police of the Metropolitan Transport Authority, MTA, the state agency that runs the subways, to increase the number of uniformed personnel patrolling subway stations and riding trains. I remember when I was a kid, I used to hear people talk about, you know, you want to see more bobbies, that's the word in our country, bobbies on the street. But the image there is a sort of a member of the police force on a bicycle. And again, this might just be where I am in my own personal evolution. It seems like a rather pleasant idea. A member of the police force, again, that word, that is working for the community. But now, just think about how it feels to you as a person. When you're on the subway and you see people with machine guns, do you feel inside yourself, that's good that that's happening, I feel more safe. Now, I don't know what else might make you feel unsafe. I don't know who you are or where you're from or how you've been coached and trained. Maybe a group of young people with their hoods up makes you feel bad. Maybe a group of drunk men in suits makes you feel bad. Maybe people wearing religious attire of some denomination makes you feel bad. But one thing I can say with some certainty is granting further and further authority to a group invested in war and control will not be good for any of us, regardless of our outward accoutrements. The troops are currently operating out of Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn as part of Joint Task Force Empire Shield. I mean, that's not good, is it? Joint Task Force Empire Shield. I mean, they're telling you what they're up to. What are you doing? We're shielding the Empire. And what if I don't agree with the Empire? Well, I mean, I could put it in a number of ways, but how about, well, I don't know. Joint Task Force Empire Shield, set up nearly a quarter century ago after the terrorist attacks of September the 11th, 2001. Okay, so that event increased authority, increased spying, increased surveillance, increased war, and we all agreed it was a good thing to do, didn't we? Except for the millions of people who marched against that war against Iraq, which, by the way, happened anyway, of course. We all agreed that it was necessary because we were under threat. So what's happening now? We're under threat, right? From MAGA Trump on one side or immigrants on the other side, so we better get the military on the streets. They regularly patrol in the Grand Central Station, the Port Authority, and a few other transportation hubs wearing camouflage uniforms and equipped with automatic rifles, but not engaging with the population. Now the soldiers will take on the role of supplementing the NYPD, helping with random searches of bags and backpacks and other police activity. They will also move deeper into the subway system, appearing at more of its 472 stations and riding trains. Like, this is not CBGB's, New York Dolls, Ramones, Bowie, Warhol, Blondie, New York City, let's get on it, yeah, we're free. If I lived in New York right now, I'd be frightened. I've lived in New York before. If I lived in New York and they militarized the underground, I'd think it's time to get out. And we'll be seeing this, I predict, and actually Alex Jones has predicted already, with a good degree more experience and research than we're able to deploy, that we're going to be seeing this more often. And the good thing about it is we'll know, won't we? Because they won't just suddenly do it and say it's to pick up sweet rappers, although, God, you know, maybe they do that in Singapore. They will say it's to protect you. So watch out for that. Now you know what to watch out for. Hochul announced other repressive measures, including the installation of cameras in every subway car and in the cabs used by drivers and conductors. The Democrats in the state legislature will introduce a bill to bar anyone convicted of a crime of violence on the subways from using the transit system for 3 years, effectively barring them from living and working in the city, where only the wealthy and upper middle class can go about their daily lives without riding the subway. Again, this is like hate law stuff, isn't it?
Well, you can't blame us. If someone's committed a violent crime in a subway, then it's sensible to ban them.
crime. If you commit a crime against one of our workers, one of our personnel, we have a duty to protect them, and we cannot let you ride the subway, except what if they didn't? And what was the provocation? And under whose authority? And who trusts the judiciary now anyway? And who trusts the military? And who trusts the police force? Even the military don't trust the military. They're setting themselves on fire. They're living on the brink of poverty while still serving. There are 40,000 of them homeless right now. If I see someone in a military uniform, I don't know whether I let them check my bag or flip them a buck. The terms hate and terror are being more widely used to appropriately categorize groups in ways that means that they can be penalized, controlled, criminalized, or shut down. You've all seen videos of like a mentally ill kid being dragged out by the police for saying something off key in public. You know, it wasn't that long ago, oh, Tourette's, they've got Tourette's, oh, you know, that, they're using this authority in whatever way is convenient. A terrorist now, and for some time has been, someone that the centralized authority has a problem with, an individual or group whose intentions are adversarial to the state. Now, the problem is all of our intentions ought to be adversarial to the state because the state facilitates globalist corporatism, primarily domestic order in order to continue to facilitate that secondarily. And other than that, it's like, I don't know, putting on things like the Oscar. I don't know what the other role is. January 6th, protesters are terrorists. Good, because I, you know, that was terrible. That was an insurrection. And pro-Palestine protesters are terrorists. Well, good, because, you know, those people, they're not like us. Oh, so are you not noticing the crucial fact that wherever you might feel on the political spectrum our culture offers us, you can be regarded as a terrorist if you're a nuisance? Statistics collected in recent years show that the campaign to whip up fears of violence on the subways has no basis in fact. Oh, good. Right, I mentioned earlier that there'd probably be information available on the amount of attacks that take place. Here's some information. So, get ready. NYPD figures showed a 2.6% decrease in subway crime in 2023 compared to 2022, although there was a jump in January 2024 compared to the same month last year, probably because they registered statistics differently because they knew they were about to introduce these laws, a cynic might assert, in conjunction with a spate of stories released in high-profile and compliant media outlets. Hey, let me know in the chat if you agree. According to a separate analysis by the MTA and the New York Times, oh right, yeah, that vast template of opinion, the New York Times, violent crimes occur at a rate of between 1 and 2 per million subway rides. Quick, get the army down here. Once every million or two subway rides, there could be a crime. Well, are there any areas in culture where there's continual crime? There are. Do you want to sort that out? But a few violent incidents, the knifing of a subway driver, the shooting of a passenger in Brooklyn, have been sensationalized by the media and capitalist politicians of both parties. Hochul did not conceal the political motives behind her announcement of the troop redeployment. I'm also going to demonstrate that Democrats fight crime as well, she told MSNBC on Thursday. This narrative that Republicans have said and hijacked the story that we're soft on crime, that we defund the police. No, not only do we defund the police, we defund and yet still use the military on the subway. There you go, get down there and search bags. And when you've finished your tour, there's a sleeping bag for you. Go sleep down there. The New York Civil Liberties Union said, today's announcement fails to address long-standing problems of homelessness, poverty, or access to mental health care, all of which serving personnel could evidently do with. Remember Aaron Bushnell, just a little while ago, scrubbed from the internet. Instead, a sweeping surveillance state was being established. One of the key episodes in Trump's preparation of his attempted political coup on January 6, 2021, you can let me know whether or not you agree that that's what that was his threat to invoke the Insurrection Act during the summer of 2020 and send the military into major American cities to suppress popular demonstrations against police violence sparked by the murder of George Floyd. Now, a Democratic governor is deploying troops in the largest American city on an equally bogus pretext. Doesn't matter whether you are at a Black Lives Matter protest or a pro-Trump MAGA protest. In the end, if you get in their way, you're a terrorist. You have more in common with one another than you have in common with the media or political systems that are attempting continually to divide you. It is impossible for the US ruling elite to carry out this policy democratically. It requires a frontal assault on the democratic rights of the working class and the build-up of the repressive forces of the capitalist state. So by the time that new measures are introduced that are unpopular, whether it's the increase of war or the increase of authoritarianism, the sight of the military on the streets and transport facilities of major metropolises will be
normal and accepted. Look at the people already just breezing past armed guards on a subway as if it ain't no thing. Perhaps thinking to themselves, this will protect me from immigrants. Perhaps thinking to themselves, this will protect me from BLM protesters. Perhaps thinking to themselves, this will protect me from January 6th insurrectionists. Whatever they need to put in your mind to make you more compliant, they're willing to put there. That's why we are very determined, most determined, to put into your heart a spirit of real individual sovereignty and collective representation, so that we may oppose this authoritarianism together.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you want to see more uncensored content where free speech can flourish, join our live stream. Click the link right here to watch the next video if you want to, or become a member of a growing movement. Download the Rumble app and you'll be informed every time we make a new piece of content. Stay free.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Look Into It. Tonight, this is his third appearance on Look Into It. Please welcome the man, the myth, the legend, Alex Jones. What's up, Alex?
I thought you were going to say Joe Rogan or Eddie Bravo, but all right.
Dude, so much shit has happened.
Look how they just threw the case out in Georgia. The main racketeering, the judge said, it's a fraud. You have no evidence, you big, fat, evil George Soros witch. That Fannie Willis literally flies into the courtroom on a damn broom.
So that's over? It's totally over.
Well, they still got the subcharges, but the main thing, the judge just killed the racketeering charge and three other charges on Trump. So the racketeering was what ties it all together. So, yeah, now the judge just handed her a giant mess to embarrass her more because she lied and said she wasn't screwing that prosecutor for years. And of course, anybody can buy the cell phone data. And they showed him shacking up with her like 2 years before at her house like 25 times. And everywhere else, because, you know, just like Dinesh D'Souza a few years ago went and bought in a few cities, it's very expensive. He just bought the cell phone data of all the mules going to these safe houses and then getting the ballots they went and put in the drop boxes. And just like D'Souza got that, you or I, anybody, if you're willing to plop major cash down, can get the cell phone records of anybody. So she got up there and said, oh, I didn't start dating him till 2 years ago. Well, they had her 4 years ago, shacked up at his house, him shacked up at her house. So she's going to be lucky if she doesn't get indicted for perjury, that evil George Soros witch.
How about if a sex tape comes out of her and that dude? That would be fucking crushing, right?
I'm sure that, but I'm not into bestiality videos. I mean, like watching a man have sex with a whale is just disgusting.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. So the Georgia case, it's falling the fuck apart. What about the New York shit with the, you know, Mar-a-Lago being worth $18 million?
That wasn't even a real case. Just like in my cases, the judge found him guilty in default and said Mar-a-Lago's worth $18 million when people are ready to buy it for $800 million right now. They're selling two-acre lots for $220 million. He's got 18 acres with over 100 buildings on it and a golf course. And people are ready to buy it right now for $800 million. And the judge, notice, it said the judge found him guilty. People go, oh, it's a bench trial. You can choose in a criminal or civil trial a judge, but you choose the judge. Trump, under new New York law they passed just for him, he didn't get to choose a jury trial. Just like in that crazy lady that said rape is hot, E. Jean Carroll, the jury's never said Trump raped her 25 years ago with no witnesses. He wasn't allowed to say he was innocent. Eddie, since when can you not say you're innocent? I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer was guilty, but he's allowed to say he's innocent.
So are all these trials just they know at the low level they got their corrupt judges and they could just do whatever the fuck they want.
Here's how it works.
Americans
until now have not been awake as Eddie Bravo for 20 years or Alex Jones for 30. Hell, when I met you 25 years ago, you were already awake. So it's 25 years ago. I probably wake up before that. The point is, they still think courts are somewhat fair. Now all the polls show like 80% don't believe the courts. 2 years ago, 90% believe the courts. So there's still a lot of jurisdictions that are real and things. But Soros has got in over 1,000 DAs, over 2,000 county attorneys. He's got 21 of the state attorney generals, like Letitia James in New York, that brought the case against Trump on real estate. And so what they do is, they default you in civil trials and say you didn't appear or didn't respond. You do. Then the judge takes over. They don't have a jury trial. They have a judge trial. In my case, they defaulted me and said I was guilty, but still had a jury trial as a show. But the jury was there to decide how guilty I was and then how much. And then the judge said he made $400 million off this. I never made $10 off Sandy Hook. And then they sit there and tell the jury he's got all this money and you can't defend yourself. People say, oh, your lawyers suck. No, the judge gives them every day a big list of things they can't say and says, I'll sanction you and take your bar license if you speak up. Both my lawyers still spoke up. Both have been sanctioned by the court. They're trying to take my lawyer in Connecticut's license away. He's a famous criminal lawyer, Norm Pattis. So, man, people are getting it. Like, people are like, wait. You're already guilty, but a jury's going to decide how guilty. Well, with Trump, they've just gotten rid of juries altogether in some of these cases.
Yeah, why are they so after Trump at this point? If he's like, some people think he's just playing, you know, bad cop, good cop, and he's part of the deep state. And is he with them or is he not with them? Because it seems like they're really fucking going after him, right?
No. Look. Trump is just like Elon Musk. He sees a collapsing global system, and he wants to take it over. Maybe he's good, maybe he's bad. But the hatred for Elon Musk, the hatred for Trump, is both real. And it's because you don't tell those guys what to do. Normal presidents, except for Nixon, they removed him too. Nixon said, I'm the president. Screw you. I'm in charge. So they set him up. It's the same thing. Trump's not perfect. He's really smart in ways, really tough. I admire him. He's wrong on some things, you know, right on like 95% in my view, from my perspective. But he doesn't let anybody tell him what to do. So everybody since Nixon has been a complete puppet since they removed Nixon. And Trump came in and said, no, listen, I'm in charge, okay? And I make the decisions. And so you've got these boards and these bureaucrats and these think tanks that normally run stuff, and they're pissed. So, yeah, Trump's real. And 100% for America doesn't mean I agree with anything he does, but he's real. He's his own man. He's in charge. His biggest strength is nobody's a bigger pig-headed person than Trump. He's like a jackass. I mean that in a good way. Like, he's stubborn. You don't tell him. You can't push him around. But at the same time, then when you're good and trying to warn him, he doesn't listen. So, yeah, Trump's 100% real. Doesn't mean he's 100% perfect, but he's 100% real. Just like I'm a real, Joe Rogan's real, you're real. Doesn't mean you and I and Joe agree on everything, but we're still real. We're our own men. We make our own decisions. And that's what Elon Musk and Donald Trump are doing. So we're seeing the real deal right now.
A lot of conspiracy theorists that I know, I would say 80% don't trust Elon Musk. And, you know, because, you know, he's involved with, you know, SpaceX. And I mean, he faked launching a fucking Tesla into space on a billion year orbit around the sun. So it's like it's hard to fully trust him. But it's possible that you're right. And he is actually in the middle of awakening. And now he's starting to see that, you know, what good is all his money if we're going to live in a Mad Max world.
Exactly, right? Exactly. In a Mad Max world, Zuckerberg's building bunkers. They're all building bunkers. Why not have a good world where your money's worth something? Look, I'm not Elon Musk apologist. I'm not Elon Musk publicist. All I know is, let's say you got a clock, and 12 noon is total freedom, and 6 is total slavery. So Elon Musk, you know, was basically at 3 o'clock before. He did a lot of weird stuff, things I didn't agree with, Neuralink, self-driving car. But in the last 2 years, he's moved almost to Eddie Bravo level. And Joe, you know, is a good guy. He's moved way over there, too. So is Tucker Carlson. So you and I, we're not bragging. It's true. We're way ahead of the curve. The whole world sounds like Eddie Bravo. Of the top 100 most popular talk show hosts in the world, all 100 are anti-New World Order. We're electing anti-New World Order people all over the world. The world has woken up. So whether they were already awake or whether they're trying to just get on board a bandwagon, I don't care. Because when you start winning, you got to get ready for everybody to come over to your side. So I've been doing this 30 years in April, in about 3 weeks, middle of April. Remember, my first show was on April 15th. They said, are you here because of tax day? And I said, no. I talked about taxes because of it. I've been on Access TV 30 years ago in April. And I got a local radio show about a year later, got syndicated 2 years later, just kicked, you know, worked hard. And it's been a, you know, 30-year success story, you know, overnight success story. But no, I mean, look, Elon's reaching like 300 million people a day with his stuff. exposing the transgenders and the open border and the New World Order. I know there's a lot of hanky-panky with electric cars and space and a lot of weird shit going on, but he's moving way towards us, so I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah. Some people are concerned that that's just that's part of the deep state plan, get you to follow a false idol. Like, he's playing the role like, oh, he's going to save everybody. Follow
him.
Yeah,
well, here's the difference. I'm not following Alex Jones or Eddie Bravo or Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson or Elon Musk. He's doing irrevocable damage to them. They are openly with George Soros and the EU and the New World Order and the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Justice Department trying to put Elon Musk in prison. He's Elon Musk is one of two things. He's either an opportunist that sees the current New World Order going down. He wants to run it. So he's posing as a savior to come and do it. That may be it. Or he's woken up as a humanitarian. But I'm telling you right now, if I'm walking to my car and somebody walks over and hits me in the head with a lead pipe and knocks me down and I'm bleeding, and some good Samaritan comes over and kicks their ass and protects me, maybe that person's doing it for bad motives. All I know is they just were helping. So yeah. You can't argue with the pudding. Christ said you judge a tree by its fruit, said he. And right now, Elon Musk is in influence in the world, not just in America. It was like this. Elon Musk and then twins, Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson, and then Alex Jones and, Jordan Peterson and a few others.
Candace Owens.
I would say, you're big. You're down there in that constellation. I'm just saying, I'm calling it like it is. I mean, I'm not the starting guy, but all the starters are on the field, and you and I are like right behind the starters. And I know this. Nobody tells me what to do. And I also have kind of a bias. People are telling me all day, somebody's telling me what to do. I'm getting orders from somebody. Bullshit. I run my own life. I'm calling my own shots, and I'm really trying to tell the truth. And we have arguments, you and I on the phone, and tech, me and you and Joe were arguing 2 days ago, and I agree with this, he disagrees with that, you agree with this. I mean, there's nobody telling Joe Rogan what to do. So I know how the real world works. The globalists have had their power for a while. When we were asleep, they were able to do whatever they wanted. The awakening's here. We're about to find out what's really going on.
My theory on the Bushes is like George Bush Sr. and George W. I think that they were brought into the Republican Party or came into the Republican Party to ruin it. And that's what it looks like. It looks like Operation Mitt's Crush.
If you'd like me to lay this out, historic Eddie, you are 100% right on that. Go ahead and make your point.
My point is, so George Sr., he's like one of the fucking kingpins. He goes, you know what? I'm going to go in. Because there's two sides. There's a Republican side, Democrat side. And even Ronald Reagan said if fascism was to infiltrate, they'd always go in through the left because it's easier. The left is easier to infiltrate. The left is easier to blackmail. The left is easier to corrupt. The right is blackmailed and corrupt, too. But it's a little harder. It's not even. Nothing is even. The Democrats are easier to control through blackmail and through because it's all free love and
they were the first party, so they've been in charge from the beginning, so they're just older. Yeah, it's been taken over. I totally agree.
So when you started your shit, you were balls deep going after the Bushes. That's why they blew you up, right? They're like, oh shit, Alex Jones is perfect. He's going after the Bushes because I mean, you look at 9/11. That's pretty fucking obvious that, Michael Moore had a movie, 9/11 Fahrenheit. It was a fucking nationwide release. They were mainstreaming.
Let me speak to both those points.
Yeah.
The globalists are good at picking talent once it emerges and trying to co-opt it. So you didn't become the world jiu-jitsu champion because they decided to blow you up. You came from nowhere and you beat the top people. Okay, Joe Rogan didn't blow up and take over because they picked him. It's because he's really smart, gets better and better. He's played the long game. But there's truth they try to co-opt. Even if you don't let them co-opt you, they'll create this image of you and this kind of media caricature that they do promote that's not you. So I'll talk about that in a moment. But you made a lot of big points here. So let me go back to George Herbert Walker Bush, okay?
Okay.
All right, what you said about they were sending to take over the Republicans is 110% absolutely true. And I could talk for 5 hours, but just let me give you just a couple minutes on that. Eddie, I saw your video down for a minute. You're back. All right. So let's talk about it right now. Where do the Bushes get their power? Prescott Bush is the deputy lawyer at Brown Brother Harriman in World War II.
That's George Bush Sr.'s father, Prescott Bush, his father.
Yes, Senator Bush is the deputy lawyer at one of the most powerful law firms in America. And so when the Nazis fail, there's London Guardian on this, it's been released, it's not denied. There's the equivalent of $50 trillion plus dollars, back then tens of billions, of Nazi money in U.S. banks, in Canadian banks, and in Mexican and Brazilian and Argentinian banks, because the Nazis were, in case they lost, were heavily investing in America. And it came out, they had the McCormick-Dickstein hearing committees, that Prescott Bush was a big Nazi and all this, but he turned double agent the last 2 years of the war. The Kennedys were involved too, with Joe Kennedy, and both Kennedy brothers were dating a Nazi spy and all that. That's in like History Channel shows. But they turned back against the Nazis a few years in the war, just like the King of England had to advocate Edward VIII because he was a Nazi too. So, you know, the Nazis were on Time magazine. They were the good guys until like 1940. So the Bushes had all this Nazi money. And then with that, it wasn't a Nazi conspiracy, but with the CIA and OSS that became MI6 at the end of World War II, they pledged that money into the Western intelligence agencies. And the Western intelligence agencies, with Operation Paperclip and the Rat Line, brought in 30-plus thousand Nazis into America. Klaus Barbie, Joseph Mengele, all those guys did escape to Argentina. Hitler really died in the bunker, really committed suicide from all the evidence we have. So you have the Bushes, who then wrote in books and articles that when he was the director of the CIA, he got hired by Nixon. He went from being a Democrat to basically being a Republican. And then their job was to fully take over the Republican Party after Nixon. And that's why Bush Sr. stepped down in 93 and let Clinton win. And so since Bush Sr., Clinton, George Jr., that was the deal, then Obama, it was supposed to be Hillary, one CIA club controlling both parties. That failed. And then when Trump came in, he's not controlled by any agency. He calls the shots. And so that's why they're so pissed at Trump, and that's why the CIA has tried to remove him, why they've run the Russiagate and all this stuff. So that is all admitted, that 100% the neocon blue blood Republicans saw the rebellion, because they already had the left going along with open borders and globalism and pedophilia and all this stuff. The Republicans were the threats. They wanted to control it. And so now, because of the Tea Party and then Trump and everything, we've taken over the Republican Party pretty much. Now Trump's daughter-in-laws control the RNC. Now they're in full panic mode. Now the fake prosecutions aren't working. Now it's all going down. But yeah, I was on Access TV. There was nothing like it at the time. Then I got a local radio show. I got top ratings. I went and found out about satellites, paid myself to get syndicated. I sat there and called myself every week, hundreds of radio stations, kissed the ass of affiliate directors, and got back when talk radio was big, and I was making films. And so I was getting on 50,000 watt stations, big ones, little ones. I did all that. There was a time kind of when the left tried to embrace me in the middle of the Bush administration, but I was already launched. But they tried to co-opt me. They flew me out to California. I met with the big Hollywood elites. I met with the top producers. I met with the lawyers for Spielberg, all of them. They said, we're going to give you a movie career. We want you to be a liberal. We want you to take over everything. Then Roger Ailes offered me a job a few years later at Fox News. I said no to that. So you're right. They came to get me later, but they didn't boost my career. I did it myself. Then they tried to come get me to work for them, and I've never worked for them.
Yes. So what were your feelings of Obama when he was running for president? Did you already have him figured out? I mean, you know his mom and his grandpa are CIA, right?
That's declassified. That's a fact.
Okay. So did you know that back then, or were you kind of like, cause me and Joe were like, damn, maybe he is hope. Maybe he is the one. We were fooled for a little bit. I was fooled a little bit.
No, I was producing for 6 months before he got elected. He did get elected. People bought into him. Unlike Biden, he was elected both times, landslides. I was producing the Obama deception 6 months before he got elected. I knew he was going to be elected.
Oh, so you
and
knew.
But John McCain was controlled, too. So that was totally selected. And then Mitt Romney was controlled. So there was no choice then. It was back to the CIA controlling both parties. And so I made the Obama deception that was released 1 week after he took office. That's free online. Watch the Obama deception. And I then predicted everything he was going to do.
How did you know? Like, because he came out of nowhere. Like, there was like, no, there's no real records of like his political career, right? He was a senator, but like his college days are a mystery.
Yeah, I made some phone calls and did some research. You know, he was working with the Bushes and working with the Democrats. So, I mean, I knew he was the next election. And so that's how I was aware of him.
So you knew from the get he was CIA.
Yeah, I mean, I made a film about it that I produced. I started production 6 months before he was inaugurated. So I started about 4 months before he got elected, about 2 months before he was sworn in. I released it 1 week after he was inaugurated. It got Google Video was still around then. It got like 80 million views on Google Video. Then they took it down on YouTube. It got like 50 million views. And that was the big film put me on the map. I mean, I was big before, but that film absolutely made me like a superstar with the Tea Party and the Populist Republicans.
Yeah, swung back because, you were going after George W. And everybody was going after him. I mean,
but the liberals were crazy, though. The liberals were crazy because I was pro-gun and anti-abortion and all this stuff. But because I was attacking Bush, they liked me because they were low-level, even though they were Hollywood people. They didn't get it because they weren't sophisticated. But I was always saying the two parties were controlled back then. I was always exposing it. And then listen, Eddie, I was doing voiceovers back then, the Screen Actors Guild. I got paid 1 year alone. They had me doing ads for insurance companies because I could do like the voice of Darth Vader or Optimus Prime. It was kind of a combo voice. I got paid $900,000 1 year right when Bush was leaving office. And I remember they called up and they said, listen, we're about to renew your contract, but we don't like the fact you're attacking Obama. And I said, I'm going to attack him, and they canceled my contract. They had me doing movie theater trailers because I could do the big, you know, movie theater voice of God stuff.
Do it. Let me see it. Let me hear something. Do an ad.
I mean, I can do famous voices like Megatron, prepare to die. I mean, I can do Darth Vader. Impressive. Most impressive. But I mean, the kind of voices they wanted, I would work with them. You know, I would fly to L.A. and spend like 3 days, and they'd say, we want a combination of Optimus Prime and Darth Vader. So it'd be like, it would be like such and such insurance has the, you know, with over 200 years, this company is ready to protect you and your family. Visit such and such today for the highest quality service you'll ever have. I mean, it was just, I mean, I can do the big voice, you know, that.
Can you do it, George Soros voice?
I need to see a clip, kind of like, so you work for Hitler?
Well, yes, it was the best time of my life. It was happy making time. I would do it again. I do not have any guilt. Someone else would have been rounding up the Jews if I didn't.
Do you feel guilt?
No, I feel no guilt.
I was 14. What's the big deal? I was just a kid having fun.
Yeah. But the key is, like, I still feel no guilt. I just would do it again. It was happy making.
Okay, Klaus Schwab. Invite Klaus Schwab to the Bohemian Grove. Ask him if he's going to go. Like, what? Like, Klaus, are you going to this year's Bohemian Grove?
Who is your favorite person that you've groomed for office in government?
There are many peoples, but Justin Trudeau is the best. He penetrates the cabinets.
Oh, dude. What, I mean, I don't know how that guy is, they didn't pull that guy. Like, whoever's running the deep state or the Illuminati, they're like, dude, Klaus, we love you, dog. But, dude, everybody,
they want to gaslight. It seems like that backfires. No, they want to say you will eat bugs. And by the way, I didn't tell the story about $900,000 to brag. I was like getting seduced by Hollywood and didn't even know it. Like, oh, hey, here's your contract. And I was told you'll be paid like $20 every time the ad airs. And they aired it thousands of times. So I'm getting like $100,000 checks. And then a year later, they go, by the way, we want you to leave Obama alone. And most people would say, yes, sir. But see, you know, that's like when a basketball player criticizes Uyghurs in concentration camps in you know, Mongolia. And they go, hey, you better. And then they apologize. It's the same thing. So I didn't know I was being compromised when I was.
But at the moment of truth, then I said, well, screw you. Then boom, lost the contract. But imagine, that was just the start. And I was doing a good voiceover. It's not like I didn't make them the money. They told me it was the most successful ad campaign that insurance company ever had that 2 years. That's just an example of what they do.
Yeah, have you heard the allegations on P. Diddy lately? Have you seen that?
About the gay mafia?
About, like, allegedly one of his producers has got a lawsuit against him, and he's alleging that there was a lot of cameras in mansions and shit was being videotaped to use as blackmail. Have you heard
that? No, none of the lawsuit's real. I've seen the article. I mean, look, Jeffrey Epstein was not the only one doing this.
Yeah.
This is going down constantly. And that's just, Hollywood has been a CIA operation before the CIA existed. I mean, it's been, we had Army intelligence and all that before, and 100%. I mean,
now do you think, is there, okay, let's see. Yeah, that's a crazy lawsuit, man. That's a crazy one. If it's true, if he was the Jeffrey Epstein of the music business, holy fuck. That's going to bring a lot of people down, because apparently Clive Davis is dead now, right?
Well, let me tell you how it works. I've talked to a lot of senior FBI agents and others. You get in the FBI, you mean well, you've been in the military, you're a lawyer, whatever, and then you're out on a trip in another city or another state or another country, and your boss says, hey, look at these girls, and it's like hot hookers. You're like, hey, go ahead and have fun with them. And if you don't do it, you never get promoted. If you have sex with the hookers, you do. Now they got blackmail to use on your wife. And that's kind of the first level. Then it's like, hey, we got some 16-year-old, hookers here. Prove we can trust you. Go in there and do it. I mean, they tell them we're doing illegal stuff to make sure we can trust you. It's like a Mexican mafia or MS-13 or the Crips, the Bloods. Or you got to go kill a liquor store owner, rob an old lady because they know they got dirt on you. But with the establishment, or like Bohemian Grove, Richard Nixon said it's the most goddamn faggy thing he ever saw. But he had to go to get elected governor and then president. And he talked about it on presidential tape. He could play the club. But he also talked to Roger Stone about it. And when I was there for 5 hours, four or five hours, and I was, not fat and ugly like I am now. I was pretty good looking when I was young. And I had guys whistling at me. I mean, literally, I had to hide under a porch until the sun went down. And then they told me the ritual happened on the 15th, at dusk. And it sure as hell, I caught it and got out of there. But I mean, I had dudes like trying to pinch me on the ass, chasing after me. So, I mean, it is a giant homosexual orgy. But see, that's Republicans. It's like they're like the conservative guys. So even if they don't want to have sex with a dude, they go there to be part of the ritual.
Damn. Did you hear about that boxer Ryan Garcia talking about Bohemian Grove?
Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest, and I'm not trying to put Ryan Garcia down. I've seen him, he's been a champ. He's a contender. He's a good-looking guy. I listened to the whole interview, the whole Exit Spaces, and he sounded like he was having a mental breakdown to me. And I'm not saying that he didn't get tied down and watched somebody raped. I'm just saying Bohemian Grove is 2,700-acre Redwood Grove with all these beautiful encampments and basically tree houses. Some are tree houses, but it's like these big, some are like five-bedroom, things. Some are like camps with private chefs and Maitre D's and all these little private restaurants. And mainly, I mean, when I was there, I saw Clint Eastwood. I saw Danny Glover. I was there 5 hours. And I saw them as I was getting ready to watch the ritual as they all got there. And I looked it up. Clint Eastwood's been a guest. So more than half the people coming are just invited to this beautiful private encampment. They're not part of it. It's to recruit them. So they're not running around sacrificing kids everywhere. That goes on. Weird stuff goes on in certain areas. But to just say, I'm at Bohemian Grove and they tied me down and they raped kids, that then discredits what's really going on there. And all I'm saying is, tell us the date. Give us a police report. Give us the specifics. But instead, he sounded like he was having a mental meltdown. And I'm not being mean to him. When I said that last week, people said, oh, you're covering up, Jones. You're covering up. No, Kid Rock was on Joe Rogan. And he said, I was there once and I got basically kicked out because I beat somebody up and I was a guest. Everything he said was true. I mean, I know how the place works. So more than half the people there each year are, again, this guy locally, last year and this year, in the last 6 months, a guy in the fall and the same guy about a month ago. It's all over the web, went viral. Great work, by the way. I'm not taking it away from him. He snuck in, but no one's there in the winter. It's 2,700 acres in a gorge, biggest redwoods in America that are left, bigger than the national park, because I've been there. They're like, they're so huge, you can't believe it. It's like a joke how big some of the trees are. Somewhere like 20 feet around, and you're sitting there, and they're doing all of this. And so my point was, is that I don't know the point I was going to make about it. It's just that I have snuck into Bohemian Grove. I have seen what's going on there. And it's not like people swinging around like Tarzan, murdering kids everywhere. It is a gateway. It is a place for them to seduce people into it. Oh, the point I was going to make is that all the rest of the year, it is shut down and there's nobody in there. It's only July 15th, July 30th that the world leaders go there. And then that's when it's hard to get in. But this guy snuck in and found their annals, found their books, found their weird satanic stuff. I mean, it's definitely going on there. I'm just saying, it's not like you walk in and it's Satan is stabbing kids 24/7, but it's a bunch of drugs, a bunch of alcohol, a bunch of gay sex. In the town nearby, you go there, there's private jets everywhere, hookers all over the place, female hookers. It's basically a giant sex party to compromise politicians.
Mm, interesting. Now, shifting gears a little bit, I saw a video today, and Hibbler will play it. It's on direct energy weapons. I mean, it's basically like Star Wars is here. Can you play that video?
Are you talking about Greg Reese's report we produced?
I didn't see that one. I saw an actual news report.
Oh, they say, Jewish space lasers. And what do Jews have to do with it other than Israel's got lasers too? Yeah, they throw that in. So let me explain. Long before Reagan got in and officially announced the Star Wars initiative, they didn't just have lasers. They have particle beams. So a particle beam has a cyclotron in it. It can be 6 inches. It can be 2 feet around. It speeds up particles, you know, different heavy particles like uranium, plutonium, lead. And then it ionizes it. And it goes, my dad built one in college for a DARPA program he was involved in. And then it fires. It goes, and it fires particles in the beam that don't just burn through, they explode the target. Okay, they're tiny particles, but they explode the target. So they don't just have lasers. So they're showing us the Tinker toys they have. They had 40 years ago DC-10s. The whole plane was a laser with chemical lasers that could shoot down missiles at 100 miles away. They've got space-based lasers, particle beams, X-ray lasers. All that's been partially declassified. It's kind of like you always play the clip of Brennan when he was outgoing CIA director in like 2019.
2016.
Saying we control the weather. I saw the clip in 2019. We control the weather. We control everything. We can chemtrail, high-altitude aerosol. So that's all going on. They just keep the details secret from us. I guess in 2019, you showed me the clip. I hadn't seen that until I was out in L.A. with you and your co-host. You showed me that, and now
I mean, yeah, viral. John Brennan at the CFR, basically, he's saying after decades of people, you know, after decades of people, conspiracy theorists saying the craziest shit, like the craziest conspiracy theory is that the CIA is spraying the skies with metallic particles. That was the crazy conspiracy theory that was going on for decades. Turns out, now John Brennan, while he's head of CIA, says that, oh, guess what? We have to save the world from global warming. Remember that crazy conspiracy theory where the CIA is going to be spraying the skies with metallic particles? Well, coincidentally,
we are doing that. And now Bill Gates is going to block out the sun?
Yeah, same thing. That's all chemtrail shit.
And by the way, for new viewers, you can search Bill Gates to block out the sun. You can search John Brennan, CIA, chemtrails. We're not making any of this up. So, yeah, they've had lasers since the 50s. They've had them deployed since the 70s. Space is fully weaponized. It's not just lasers. More than lasers, they use meteor guns in orbit because you don't need a nuclear weapon or an atomic weapon. They have DU Sabos that have a rocket on the end because of their weight. They're very small, but they're very heavy. A small projectile is 100 pounds. It speeds up to 35,000 miles an hour, and one Sabo DU round can kill a target a mile under a mountain. So their big thing is what they call Smart Pebble, And that's DU rounds, some of the size of BBs. So you can have a Gatling gun in space that goes around and that cyclotrons up BBs because there's no resistance to space, shoots the BB out at 10,000 miles an hour, and if it's shooting at a satellite in lower Earth orbit, it speeds up, and then one BB hits it, it destroys it. So, and literally, they're DU BBs. And so the size of BBs up to artillery shells, and they're just all in space. They're called decapitation weapons because they can take out all the world leaders on Earth in a matter of hours.
Yeah, you used to talk about chemtrails a lot, and did you have a documentary on it too? Did you put one out on chemtrails?
Yeah, I had Dr. Listen, I used to be on the job. I used to be really focused. I still am, but not like I used to be. I'm sitting there like 16, 17 years ago, and Fox News goes, declassified today. Dr. Ben Livingston at the end of World War II flew into hurricanes and into typhoons, that's in the Pacific, with planes at the end of World War II, and he ran Operation Popeye in Vietnam and created weather weapons and created cloud seeding and all this. So I call him, and he's like 91, living in the panhandle of Texas. I say, sir, I'll pay for you and your wife to fly down to Austin, interview him for 2 hours. Then they threatened him, and he wouldn't come back on. And he admitted, since it was declassified, all of the weather modification they had. They could control hurricanes, and he did this off the coast of the East Coast in North and South Carolina. And he said, like 1965, they were already controlling hurricanes. They could create hurricanes. They could steer hurricanes. They could kill hurricanes. And somewhere is weather weapons, Dr. Ben Livingston. Just type in Alex Jones, Dr. Ben Livingston. In fact, I'm going to repost that on X today. Guys, go tell Dew, find the weather weapons thing. We're posting that today.
That's one thing that is a big concern of mine when I'm hearing, you know, like Trump, you know, talk about what he's going to do to make America great again. You know, secure the border, get out of fucking NATO, and all that shit. They have all their, he's got all a list of things that he's going to do that are great, that sound great for America. But no president has ever addressed chemtrails and geoengineering. And like, oh, like that should be like the number one issue. We're going to stop that shit, or we're going to pull fluoride out of the water. How come they never talk about chemtrails? And you always used to talk about chemtrails, and now so much shit has happened, Alex. I get it. There's so much other shit. But I think now is the time to go hard with the chemtrails. That's the most important thing. What's more important than the air you breathe? What's more important than that?
I
think chemtrails got lost. They're spraying this shit all over Austin, too.
There was a 1992 Nobel Prize given for a plan to add aluminum dioxide, barium salts, and some other radioactive salt to kerosene, this jet fuel, and then it would create nuclei that would block out the sun. They're doing it. And they admit they're doing it. So out of one side of their mouth, they admit they're doing it. But if we cover it, we're kooks and we're crazy. And so, yeah, I totally agree. And that's where Trump said he was going to declassify the Kennedy stuff, didn't do it. And he would give the orders, they wouldn't follow it. You know, I got a great crew here, and they do what I tell them. But half the time, they can't get it done. They're too busy. If my crew didn't want to do what I told them, they would shut me down. And I'm not giving Trump an excuse. It's just true. He's running millions of employees.
Yeah.
And so that's the issue.
Yeah, so what do you think is going on exactly? Like, just like a few days ago, they sprayed the shit out of L.A. What do you think that, like, they did? Are they doing it just to get us used to it? So one day they might actually have to drop some poison on us and we won't know where it came from?
Why don't you do this? Why don't you do what you did? You're right. It was 2016. I didn't see it till 2019. No one had seen it. No one I knew about it. I think
I know
everything.
Can you find that hipper real quick? We play it all the time.
Yeah, hold
on. It's only
2 minutes. I'm sitting there with you and your co-host at the time in L.A., and I'd just gone, I think, on Joe's show, and you bring me over to your office, and I'm sitting there with you, and you go, have you seen this? And I'm like, whoa. And later I went to C-SPAN, searched it. It was on C-SPAN. It's not fake. It's not AI. It's real. If you watch that 3-4 minute clip, the whole thing's like an hour long, but the 3-4 minute clip, he says we have treaties and governments don't want us to have weather weapons to cut off crops and starve people. So we can't admit we're doing it, but we do have this. So you just answer your own question. We can play that clip and start and stop it, because he explains we have the 1979 weather weapon treaty.
Are you talking about Brennan?
Brennan at the
okay,
CFR.
Yeah, it's hard to find on YouTube. I'm going to go somewhere else.
You got to go duck, go. Yeah,
give me a sec,
Yeah, they try to hide it. We should put it out again. So my point is, Eddie, you already said it. You answered your question. He says, we got treaties. Other governments don't like it. It can be used to cut off crops. It can be used for weather weapons. So they're doing it all as a test, attacking their own countries, doing their own things for control. And they're admitting it like we're all idiots. He's on C-SPAN admitting it. And he says, we have treaties, so we can't admit we're doing it. So it's like they're at the adult table at Thanksgiving having discussions about real stuff. We're at the kid table eating our boogers. And so basically, this clip says it all. It's in the, guys, anybody can type in 1978, because they did two of them, 1979 weather weapon treaties. And so we're signatories to treaties. And for whatever reason, they tell Trump, don't talk about it. Here it is.
Significantly larger proportions of retired people and older people relative to working age citizens. Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanoes.
All right, hit pause. Back it up 5 seconds. So they go, chemtrails don't exist. Let me just say this. You jump into Eddie, but this chemtrails don't exist because that's not the technical term. Atmospheric stratospheric injection. So we're using the lay term. They go, that doesn't exist because we're not using the right term. So see, they're playing this game. Start it over.
Injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly.
That's a good deal.
As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community.
Challenges.
On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations.
All right, hit pause again. Back it up 20 seconds.
Dude, he's putting he's stuffing so much in there.
Geopolitical, hurting some regions, helping others. That's what they're doing. So he's rolling it out to them that we're about to start going public with this. We've been denying it's happening so that there's no political debate. Now we're admitting it's about destroying who we want and empowering who we want. Continue.
SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations.
You think so?
Others might seize on SAI's benefits and back away from their commitment to carbon dioxide reductions. And as with other breakthrough technologies, global norms and standards are lacking to guide the deployment and implementation of SAI.
All right, so great job, Eddie, exposing that. So that's on C-SPAN's website, and he just admits it all right there.
And he's on the Council on Foreign Relations. He's at CFR. Like, dude, it's incredible. CIA director at the CFR.
You can pull up a clip of Hillary at the CFR, any clip of her. She goes, you're my bosses. You tell me what to do.
She says that on stage.
Yep.
Damn, I'd like to see that.
But this shows us how we don't know everything, because you think I know everything. I don't. And I remember like 2019, you're like, hey, show this clip. And I was like, whoa, I've never seen that. And then I went and found it on C-SPAN. I mean, that's what I'm saying. What's crazy is they admit all this. I have Fauci saying we're going to use the threat of a virus to take over and force everybody to take these shots 3 years before they did this. So that's what's frustrating is it's so hard
to keep track. That's why not one talk show host, not Joe Rogan, not Eddie Bravo, not Alex Jones, we can't keep track of it, but together we can, and the viewers and listeners can.
Yeah, I think we need, Alex, we need another chemtrail documentary, man. I think we do. That's so fucking important, man. Nobody's talking about it. They're talking about the border, which is important. They're talking about fucking, you know, inflation, the economy.
Well, you heard him say this is the cheapest way to control the world. For $10 billion, they can completely control the weather.
Yeah.
And they're doing it.
Yeah, and then, you know, at the same time, it ties into climate change, because it's not just about, it's just, it's
yeah, because about, they're really attacking the climate and holding us hostage, saying, let us run your life, or we're going to destroy everything. They can, the, I mean, listen,
with the
Ben
weather.
Livingston, with 10 aircraft that he was piloting, the command aircraft, flooded the Ho Chi Minh Trail with 10 feet of water and shut them down for months and killed thousands. Yeah. He's testified to that. So, old-fashioned systems in the 60s, could flood whole communities. Imagine what they're doing now.
Oh, have you had Dane Wigington on your podcast?
Or many times.
Oh, many times. Man, it's just not talked about enough, man. I know people.
Geoengineering Watch.
Yes, yes. Dane Wigington. He's the Helio Gracie of chemtrails, man. But yeah, I really, really think that it's time to bring that shit back in a big way. People forgot about it. They're thinking about the border and all that shit too much. Or not too much, but dude, the
Water is important, but it's a thing we know about now. We've got the chemicals in the food and water, the deadly shots, the open, you know, all of it's important. It all goes together. Yeah, there's so many Hillary Clinton clips, but yeah,
let me see.
I may have found it. Here she is saying they're her boss. Yeah,
is this it? This is the one, Alex.
I think it is.
Okay. Like,
thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, I guess, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean,
damn.
By the way, I need to hire your video guy. My crew is great, but he knows how to find stuff quick. I'm impressed. Because they try to suppress those clips.
Yeah. You just got to go to DuckDuckGo. You go to if you want to find something on YouTube, you can't find, like, something good on YouTube. You can't find it on YouTube.
They, oh, my God. It. All the Google platforms are worthless.
Yeah, it's, but if you go to DuckDuckGo and then you type in site, S-I-T-E, semicolon, and then whatever, no space, whatever website you want, site, semicolon, youtube.com, and then a space with the keywords, it takes you right to the videos.
Eddie, when are you going to air this? Because my dad's old, I love him, we're going to go on a hunting trip the next few days. I'd love to air this on my show.
We'll air it Friday. We'll expedite it. You down?
I'm down.
Okay, so what's going to happen with Trump in this election? How do you see it playing out? Are they just going to cancel the election? Are they going to turn off the internet? It seems like they're going to turn off the internet, right? Like they're preparing.
Well, I mean, if I knew all that, I really would be Nostradamus. I'm not. I go off the road.
Dude, you knew about 9/11. Come on, what's going on? In your opinion, just guess, speculate.
Go ahead. I think what you just said. I think they're. How do I know this stuff? They pre-program. So they say cyber attacks run by the Russians,
solar
flares, wars, race wars, total destabilization, false flag mass shootings. I mean, they're definitely hyping it all. So we're 8 months out from the election. I mean, the sky's the limit. Absolutely. They're going to pull out all the stops because the world's awakening up. People are pissed off. I think they want to crash the stock market once Trump gets in. But if they have to crash it before, they'll do it. But if he becomes president-elect, they're going to activate Hezbollah, Hamas, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. They're going to burn this country down. Atlantic Monthly is like their mouthpiece. They said, if Trump tries to declare the Insurrection Act, like George Herbert Walker Bush, the L.A. riots, we're going to say he's a dictator, remove him.
Watch the full video right now at BAM.video.
Hey, great being on the Alex Jones Show. Yep, I look forward to it every week. And everybody out there listening, do everything you can to support InfoWars because they're doing everything they can to support you. And we have lost our freedom and democracy in this country.
And it breaks my heart to see what's happened. And InfoWars is doing the very best they can to give you the best they can. And if we don't support each other, we're finished. And things are very, very dire. I've been trend forecasting now. This is my 44th year. Best-selling books, trend tracking, far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine, Trends 2000, international bestseller, Weekly Trends Journal Magazine. You go to jonestrends.com and you get it for pennies a day, $22 and about 50 cents a week. Or you could buy the wall, I can't say the right word, SHI Journal. And let's see, this is Saturday's edition. $6. $6. And here's the picture that takes up most of the front page. Great Caesar's ghost. Here we go again. Honorable men in central Rome's Lago d'Otore, Argentina, actors dressed up as ancient Romans on Friday reenacted the assassination of Julius Caesar. The performance commemorated on Roman leaders' killing of the Ides of March in 44 BC. That's the crap. That's the crap that they're selling. And you know why they're selling this crap? Because they're a bunch of crap heads. We don't have a media anymore. They're little prostitutes. They're little dried out lemons. Little Anderson Coopers. Jake Capitalists, little boys and girls, prostitutes, media whores that get paid to put out by their corporate pimps and government whoremasters. So we're giving you in the Trends Journal that you're not getting anywhere else in the world. Nowhere, anywhere doesn't come close. Tell you what in the world is going on, what it means, what's next, and what you might want to do. And InfoWars is giving you all this great information that you could keep putting together to help you prevail and prosper in these dangerous times ahead and the great products that they had. So here's a headline from Euronews. Pseudo-election. European leaders condemn Putin's victory. Oh, pseudo-election? You mean like the one you had over here in 2020? In the USSA? You know, I'm no fan of Trump. I call things the way they are. Election was rigged. Oh, and I think he was the guy that created the stupidity of mail-in ballots. I'm not sure, but I think that happened during the COVID war that he launched on Operation Warp Speed, the gene therapy inoculation, when he called a state of emergency on March 13th, Friday the 13th, 2020. So I don't like the cat, but the election was rigged. And here's the way I see it, and I only call it by the facts. I did Election Eve with Greg Hunter on USA Watchdog. And the polls were like this. Biden down below and Trump on the top. And then it changed in an instant, in a flash. Why? When we get back, I'll tell you why. And pseudo-election right here. Hey, great be not, Alex Jones. So I was talking about this the 2020 election and the big headline, pseudo-election, European leaders condemn Putin's victory. But they had a rig election over there, huh? No, the United States had the rig election. So I'm doing InfoWars, and Greg Hunter did a great job. He had all the charts up, you know, everything, all the, this 2020 November election. And Trump is leading Biden all over in the important states. All of a sudden, I forget the exact number and the exact state. I think there were Wisconsin and Michigan. 100 and 12,000 or 120,000 mail-in ballots had just been counted. And they all went to Biden. Wait a minute. You mean not one for Trump? Again, not a Trump fan, but I got a mind. I'm at 6 years old. You're telling me out of 120,000, 110,000 mail-in ballots from two states, nothing for Trump? Again, the mail-in ballots are a joke. Not a joke. It's rigging the game. And when they talk about Russia, how about, hey, you remember that little daddy's boy with a pair of cojones smaller than a mothball? Little Georgie Bush? Oh, we got them hanging chads down there in Florida. Oh, and JFK? Again, not who I like, what I dislike, the facts. Oh, all of a sudden he wins when he's going to lose Illinois when you had that guy Mayor Daley over there that was running the whole show. The elections are rigged. The whole game is rigged. Oh, but those dirty Russians. And as I said, journalism is dead. Dead. They're firing everybody. We report it week after week in the Trends Journal. And this just came out. It's all over the world. This is from WSWS.org. Hundreds of jobs to be axed in New Zealand media restructure. Yep. In the past 2 weeks, New Zealand's two main mainstream television stations announced dramatic reductions to their news and current affairs programming that will see the elimination of basically between 300 to 400 jobs. You name it. They're all doing it, and they're all going AI. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying do everything you can to support InfoWars. So one of the articles running on InfoWars now, and again, this ties into the Trends Journal. It's, again, we had forecast this. This is their Emergency Monday broadcast. NATO leaders beat drum to support of what Macron calls for direct military confrontation with Russia. Now let's go back to the Euronews headline. They say NATO leaders. This says European leaders. Leaders? How can you be so gutless, ignorant, to look up to these, quote, leaders? Maybe they should be outside of outhouses and lead you into the outhouse. Because that's all they are. Pieces of crap. Leaders. How can you look up to a little cazzo like Macron? A little fake-haired little boy, or maybe he's a girl. Who knows? Maybe him and Rachel Levin had something going on before. Oh, Rachel Levin. Oh, no, Richard Levin. Oh, Rachel Levin. I forgot. Oh, that's the clown that's our health expert. These are our leaders. The leaders over there in Europe, Schultz, Bologna Maloney in Italy. A clown like Sunak over there in the UK. Oh, and you hear the latest? His father-in-law just left a kid. He's like 4 months old. Not left a kid. Gave the kid $40 million. Yeah. For investment. $40 million. Could you imagine if these multi-millionaires and multi-billionaires put one penny for peace? I shouldn't say a penny. I'd say $1 billion to our Occupy Peace movement. So we could have peace on earth. Go to hell. What are you talking about, peace on earth? Oh, you got that fat mouth Stoltenberg, that NATO clown. say we're in for a long war with Russia. That's right. And now it's being reported on InfoWars. Emergency Monday broadcast, NATO leaders beat drum in support of Macron's call for direct military confrontation with Russia. There it is. World War III has begun. It was one of our top trends for 2024. Your cover of your Trends Journal magazine on February 22nd, 2022, of a little over 2 years ago, was from COVID war to Ukraine war to World War. World War III has begun. And as we have been warning week after week, month after month, and year after year, as these wars escalate, you're going to see oil prices spike. And as we had forecast, as Ukraine keeps losing support from people and military support and financial support from countries, they're going to take more dramatic actions in their attacks against Russia. And now what's going on? Bombs away over oil refineries. Let's blow up another pipeline. Yeah. There's only been about three or four in the last couple of days. Ooh. And what's Brent crude now? Yeah. About $87 a barrel. On its way to 90. And as Israel keeps ramping up the Middle East war, more bombs away over there in Lebanon, blowing up Iranian oil facilities. Oil prices, Brent crude, could spike to above $130 a barrel. And when that happens, the equity markets will crash and the global economies that had been artificially propped up with trillions of dollars of fake money backed by nothing and printed on nothing will crash. Japan, UK, Germany, Japan and Germany, Japan, fourth largest economy in the world, Germany, third largest economy in the world, in recession. They cannot take a hit of higher oil prices. And this is the reality on the street. The people are feeling the pain. I'm talking to a lot of businesses, and particularly in the hospitality and service sectors, slowing down. People can't afford it. Were you looking at your car insurance going up over 20%? Number of places around the country you can't even afford insurance on your home? This is serious, and it's only going to get much, much, much worse as this continues to escalate. So now you're also going to see, again, one of our top trends for 2024, a golden year for gold. They're going to be lowering interest rates. Will they do it this month? Well, the guess is they're not. I would have thought they were going to, because they're going to do everything they can to prop up the economy. And the lower interest rates go, the deeper the dollar falls. The deeper the dollar falls, the higher gold prices go up. Gold is dollar based. So when the dollar gets weaker, it costs less money for a lot of other countries to buy gold. And you're already seeing a record year of gold buying in China and from world banks, world central banks. They know how bad it is. And again, all things are connected. The hotter the wars heat up, the higher inflation goes, the higher inflation goes, the more you want to get gold. And again, we don't give financial advice because it costs a lot to buy a lot less. And inflation really is devaluing the currencies. That's what inflation actually does. Your currency doesn't buy what it used to. And when you look at the real inflation numbers, they're much worse than their official numbers. For example, home prices cost almost what? $400,000. Median household income, the grand total of $74,500. So you can't afford to buy a house. But no, we're not going to put that in the inflation number. We'll rig it. Well, we got rentals and we do this and that. Oh, you're not eating. Steaks prices went up. That's right. People are eating chopped meat. The thing is rigged. They started rigging it in the 1980s, and Clinton did it in the 1990s again. So they changed the whole thing. You go to John Williams' shadow stats, the inflation numbers are more than double what they're reporting officially. So that's where we see the economy going here. So the markets are on, you know, it's a joke. You got 1% that owns 54% of the equities in the United States. 1% own 43% of all the global equities. So the bigs are controlling the whole thing. And they're going to do everything they can to keep the markets high. Everything they can. And they will. They'll stay up. But there are the wild cards that nobody can predict. I say people used to call me a futurist. I said, I'm not a futurist. Nobody can predict the future. I forecast trends. And there's the wild cards, whether they're made by humans or actually subhumans, when you look at the clowns running the show, or nature. I mean, remember California? Oh, drought, drought, drought. Now it's rain time. You know, you never know. So we're very bullish on gold. We remain very bullish on Bitcoin. I was on with one of the Bitcoin kings, Max Kaiser. Did a whole hour with him on InfoWars not too far back. And Max had been on this, boy, he must be a billionaire by now. And so what's going on also in these countries where you have inflation, like 240%, like in Argentina, the people are buying, they're buying Bitcoin. They can't afford to buy gold. They're buying cryptocurrency. So the cryptos are going to stay high until the banks go into CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. And that's going to happen. The when is a guess, but it's going to happen because they're going to come out with a new currency because the dollar isn't worth anything. You have what? You're nearing $35 trillion worth of government debt, going up $1 trillion, the debt level, every 100 days. So all of a sudden, you're going to hear something. They'll make it up. Yeah, Russians just hacked our banking system. You can't get your money out. It's a bank holiday. But don't worry about it. We're here to protect you. They're coming out with a digital currency. Then you look at what society's become. It's AI'd. It's a digitized society. Young people, they're fine paying with their digital wallets. They don't want to carry cash. So when they go digital, that's my forecast, and Max and I disagree on this. And, you know, nobody's ever right all the time, and of course you should disagree if you don't agree with somebody and you have the facts, and Max is, you know, he's on top of this. But I believe that when the central banks go digital, they'll do everything they can to ban the competition. just like with gold. They took us off the gold standard in 1971. So, and again, people don't realize inflation skyrocketing, and they never talk of the reason why. And it was the Vietnam War that they printed up all this fake money to keep fighting this war. And that's also when they started bringing in migrants. It was under LBJ, off over there in Texas. They wanted more cheap labor. They needed labor because they're drafting all the guys my age and a little older. So they wanted more migrants to come in. And then I wrote in my book, Trends 2000, the H-1B visas, when the whole internet revolution began. They didn't want to pay we, the plantation workers of Slavelandia, a living wage, so they brought in cheap labor from China and India. And you look at the numbers now. They're bringing in more and more and more cheap labor. Because all the big chains, you go to any of them and you see help wanted signs out in front because they're paying the people nothing. So now you're a migrant coming in and you want to get out of Haiti? I mean, look what's going on. Look what's going on all over the world. Sudan, Somalia, Ethiopia. Tigray War, nobody talks about. So people are leaving their countries. Lack of basic living standards, government corruption, violence, crime. Come on into America. The bigs running the country need cheap labor. They're even bragging, making it clear in papers like the Financial Times that Germany needs more labor. What do you mean they need more labor? They got a recession going on over there. No, we want cheap labor so the bigs can make more money. They don't want to pay you anything because the rich keep getting richer. Again, you go to Oxfam and you can see the data. So that's on the immigration front and onto the economic front. So again, the big thing to watch right now are Brent crude, because that's going to be a signal that's really, really going to be felt, a shock that will be felt. National debt is rising, Aaron was right, by $1 trillion about every 100 days. The nation's debt permanently crossed over to $34 trillion on January 4th. Now it's about 30. It's nearing, it's over, I think it's about 34.5 now. Yep. U.S. debt, which is the amount of money the federal government borrows to cover operating expenses, blah, 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 $34.4 billion. Yeah, really. It's ridiculous. So, again, this is why you're going to see gold prices go up. Imagine being in business or not in business and having the equivalent, not in trillions, but in hundreds of thousands of dollars of personal debt, and just keep piling it up. How could you keep running your business? How can you keep? You couldn't. The whole thing is a scam in front of everybody's eyes. Now let's go back, make all things connected. Why I keep saying they're going to keep lowering interest rates and pump up the economy? Because who's running the show? The banksters. Don't believe me? How about our Treasury Secretary, Janet Mnatsakvarout Yellen? What was the last job? Fed head. But we're the same age. Hope I don't look as bad as she does. Marona me. Poof. They want to keep the people in power in power. Our government is being run by the Federal Reserve in front of everyone's eyes to see and hear, if you're not deaf, dumb, and blind. And of course, the people watching InfoWars understand the facts. The general public doesn't have a clue about this. They don't even know where the Treasury Secretary is. So you got the central bank, the banksters running the country. That's why they're going to lower interest rates to jack up the economy before the election. And again, it's going to be a freak show no matter what. But those dirty Russians, their elections are rigged, unlike in America where everything is so legit. And look at the country we have. A two-party system. Two parties. What a joke. What a joke. Oh, we fight and bring freedom and democracy. And then you read of all the money that the rich people are giving to the politicians. Got no money, got no political job. You got to get paid off. And morons and imbeciles call it campaign contributions. They're bribes and payoffs. And they paid off the bigs, destroyed the middle class in America and what this country is founded on. So InfoWars is doing everything they can to help bring that back, as we are doing with the Trends Journal. So support InfoWars. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in a little bit. And go to InfoWarsStore.com. They got great products. And go to TrendsJournal.com for a magazine you're not going to get like anywhere in the world. And you go to JonesTrends.com and you get a real break on it. Of course, you almost nothing will be. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hey, great being on the Alex Jones Show. And as I keep saying, do everything you can to support InfoWars, because they're doing everything they can to support you. And they got these great, you know, deals they give you to give you that 360 win. You win and they win. And one of the great products they have out that they're giving you a discount on of up to, let's see here, 40% off is their Triiodine. And a Survival Shield X3, and this thing was gone, but now it's back. And it's derived from ancient sea salts that are deep beneath the surface. And the Survival Shield X3, it uses a new discovered process to stabilize iodine in an activated triiodine formula, and brings a multitude of, you know, brings right off the charts, the amplitude. And this triiodine formula has iodine, potassium, iodide, sodium, iodide, Survival Shield X3. It helps to support your thyroid, healthy metabolism, and helps assist to, this is an important one, overall well-being. And because the beings aren't doing that well overall, and a lot of people need some help to really get them up into a higher level. And this is a product that could help you do that. So this new version of a fan, it's a fan favorite. That's why it keeps going out of stock. Survival Shield X3, it's important. So do what you can. And it's specifically formulated for those who worry about things that we should worry about, such as fish or other seafood from the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean, water quality, thyroid health, and depleting their natural stores of minerals due to respiration. And we're all sweating it out. So there's no better time to try this product than now. And you got your Survival Shield X3. You get 40% off today. You go to InfoWarsStore.com and see what triiodine can do for you. So it helps you and it helps InfoWars. And we got to get in the best shape we can. I keep telling everybody, what could I do? You got to get in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Matter of fact, someone just stopped by today and, you know, says he sees me on InfoWars. He wanted to thank me. And he said, like this, he said, I just lost 30 pounds. He said, I keep hearing what you're saying. And, you know, I understand you got to get in the best shape you can. It's so important.
So now, moving on. You know, as I said, you know, once upon a time, there was some Easter time. Yeah, Easter time, yeah. The Prince of Peace. And I'm a warrior, by the way, for the Prince of Peace. Throws the banksters out of the temple. Yeah. Same criminal group, just different names. Because they were destroying the lives of the people. 3 days later, he's on the cross. Happy Easter. There's a great website. They really know their stuff, and they do it for the people. And that's Wall Street on Parade. And they have an article up today. J.P. Morgan's federally insured bank is fined $348 million for losing track, you ready, of billions of trades. So, again, billions of trades they lost track of. And they get a tiny little fine like that. On Thursday of last week, two of J.P. Morgan Chase's banks, federal regulators, fined the riskiest bank in the United States, that's their language, $348 million for engaging in, quote, unsafe and unsound banking practices. Don't forget to put your money there. Everything will be just fine. Oh, yeah. For failing to supervise, quote, billions, end quote, of trades on at least 30 global trading venues. And they go on. Under Jamie Dimon at the helm of this federally insured bank as both chairman and CEO, you ready? J.P. Morgan Chase Bank has turned giant scandals into an art form. Its rap sheet reads like that of organized crime, of an organized crime family, and includes an unprecedented five criminal felony charges. Five. Hey, Salenti, I'm Jamie Dimon. Don't you know who I am? We don't go to jail. We give them a couple of bucks. And they shut up. We're running the show over there. Look who your Fed head is. She's our Treasury Secretary. It's one big gang. Oh, they talked about the mafia. Hey, you could talk about the Italians any way you want. But hey, don't talk about the banksters. No, no, no. Be proper. They go on. Just last year, its salacious activities with such trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, to whom it doled out mountains of hard cash for more than a decade, parens, which he then used to silence his underage victims and accomplices, generated news headlines around the world. The bank settled those charges last year, which had been brought in two civil lawsuits by its victims and the Attorney General of the U.S. Virgin Islands for a combined $365 million. Ah, making it clear from what I just said, adding to the outrage over a mild slap on the wrist from these two regulators last week is that this federally insured bank was previously charged with engaging in unsafe and unsound banking activities when it used depositors' money from its federally insured bank to engage in massive high-risk credit derivatives trades in London from 2012 and lost, you ready, $6.2 billion of depositors' money. The case became infamously known as the London
whale scandal. That's just part of it. Everybody better grow up. It is not a government that we have. It's a crime syndicate. They steal our money. Hey, I'm too big to fail. You're just a piece of crap. $29 trillion dumped into the banksters by the Fed heads, according to the Levy Institute of Bard College. They're thieves and they're murderers. What's your favorite war? Well, I grew up during the Vietnam War. Oh, you remember the lies about the blowing up that ship? The Gulf of Tonkin lie? Wrote about it in my book, Trends 2000, by McNamara, may he rot in hell. How about Saddam Hussein doesn't have weapons of mass destruction in Thai stuff? They got that guy Osama bin Laden dead or alive. Gaddafi gotta go. They're murderers and thieves. So support InfoWars. InfoWars is supporting you. We'll be right back. Hey, great being on the Alex Jones Show. And as I said, you know, as a trend forecaster, we travel the world in looking for information so we could provide hard data and facts so that we, in our trends journal, we say this is what they're reporting. And we, if it's about the Israel war, for example, we say with the Jerusalem Post, Times of Israel, their information. Then we go to Iran, to ISNA, Tehran Times. We got Al Jazeera. We go all over trying to get information. And then we give you our, this is what they said, this is our analysis, and here's our trend forecast. So now, InfoWars is one of those places. I just wonder what InfoWars really hits a lot of good stuff. Let me see what they got today. And as I mentioned, they have an article up here. It's very important. Emergency Monday broadcast. NATO leaders beat drums in support of Macron's call. A direct military confrontation with Russia. Little faggot Macron with the fake little hair, little pecker like this, right? Anybody, I want to make this clear to everybody listening. This is where I come from. Anybody that, like a little cazzone like Macron, wants to wage war, put on your military drag, grab your gun and go over there and fight or shut your little mouth. You got that little Mikey Johnson? You got that little Adam Schiff? Oh, and tough Tom Cotton. Go back there and fight. You love that stuff. Anybody that supports war, take your wife, your kids, your transgenders, yourself, your money, go over there and fight or shut your mouth. I don't want my money going there to kill people.
Oh, we're bringing freedom and democracy.
How dumb could you be? Oh, we follow our leaders. Look how much people hated me when I had my freedom, peace and freedom rallies over here. Oh, and the one they hated me the most for was when little Andy Cuomo locked down everything and I had a peace and freedom rally. 2,000 people showed up. We all died from COVID. People follow their little clowns and they're leading us into war. And that's why I'm mentioning this article. Because Trends Journal coming out tomorrow. These are some of the stories that relate. As forecast, as you, this is our trend forecast, and the headline is, as Ukraine loses war, it will escalate attacks inside Russia. So what's happened? Over the last few days, bombs away over oil depots and refineries inside of Russia. The numbers are up to almost between 12 and 20% of wiping out supply. You don't know whose numbers to believe, but those are the numbers. And what we've been warning week after week after week after week, year after year, as these wars continue, and I said it earlier, Brent crude's going to go up. When we just took the break, I looked, Brent crude now broke $87 a barrel. So now when you're pumping gas into your car, don't worry about the price going up. There's no inflation, and they're using your money to bring freedom and democracy to Ukraine, the most corrupt country in Europe. Oh, not according to me, according to the European Union. Oh, and according to the Ukrainian people, who in the last poll, number one concern was the war, 89%. 89% of the people polled, corruption was the second major concern. So, article number two. Again, we said that as Ukraine loses, and again, you look at the cover of our Trends Journal, don't count on the counteroffensive. We said it was a load of crap before it happened. And now nobody talks about it. They're not going to win. Again, you know, Napoleon left Poland with 420,000 troops to attack Moscow in 1812, came back with 10,000. Oh, aren't you guys glad you went there and died and fought for that?
Yeah.
Operation Barbarossa, launched by Hitler, killed over 25 million Russians. They were the first to defeat the Germans. So anybody thinks that Ukraine, a little losing country or nothing, is going to win, out of their minds. So we said they're going to ramp it up. More attacks inside of Russia. And watch out for a major false flag event, an attack on a nuclear plant that's coming. Because the next article is, in the Trends Journal, Putin talks risk of nuclear confrontation. That's right. But don't worry about it. You see an ad on, you see a flash, go in your house and stand in the middle of the room. Yeah, bend over and kiss your butt goodbye. Those stupid crap they tell you to do in case of nuclear. Oh, I got a bomb shelter. Oh, yeah, you got to come out. It's going to be lovely outside. Again, staying with the geopolitical trends and going back to the article that's in InfoWars about what's going on. Another top trend, no peace allowed. EU's top diplomat rejects Pope's call for peace in Ukraine. Yep. And that little clown said the Holy Pope entered the garden where no one invited him. This little Burrell BS little clown boy. No one invited him? Who the hell are you to say this? I'm no fan of the Pope. But boy, he's calling for peace. And of course, you know I launched Occupy Peace. And Poland continues to promote wider war with Russia. Another article. Stoltenberg, that little other clown, that's the head of NATO, promotes more war with Ukraine. He said the Ukrainians are not running out of courage. They're running out of ammunition. Together, we have the capacity to provide Ukraine what it needs. Now we need to show the political will to do so. Oh, political will? You mean little pieces of scum? Little pieces of political crap? Political will. Hey, Stoltenberg, go over there and fight. And then, of course, the genocide going on in Gaza. This is the definition from Oxford of genocide. The deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the aim of destroying the nation or group. Right in front of everybody's eyes. Article in last week's Trends Journal. We wrote about from the Middle East Monitor. According to the Jewish law, all Gaza residents must be killed. The head of the Shirat Moshe Hesda Yeshiva in Yaffa, Rabbi Elu Mali, incited his students who were serving in the Israeli army
blah, 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 blah. He stated that according to Jewish law, all residents of Gaza must be killed. When asked about the elderly and the children, he replied, the same applies to them. Mali described the war as, quote, a religious war. Little Lindsey Graham described it as a religious war, too. Ain't my war. Hey, what if I don't believe in your religion? Could you handle that? Don't tell you that. I won't tell you to believe in mine. I'm the deacon of the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice. No, no, no. You got to believe in ours. We're the only one. Yep. He said, quote, the basic law in a religious war and in the case of Gaza is that, quote, you shall not leave alive anything that breathes. Isn't that nice? And if you do not kill them, they will kill you. Today's saboteurs are the children of the previous military operation who kept alive, and the women are the ones who produce the saboteurs. Terrific, huh? Genocide. We need peace on Earth. Alex, please tell Musk to donate a couple of $100 million to Occupy Peace so we can get a global peace movement going. We are on the verge of nuclear annihilation. World War III's begun. Subscribe to the Trends Journal. We're helping you. Subscribe and do your cancer info.